much about. Too many endings, not enough beginnings. We need something to begin. And I have just the thing, an underground dance competition. I'm realizing I know nothing about the logistics of how to start an underground dance competition. But someone here will.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah! 248-8002. We'll start on our line for Democrats. Glenn called in from Salt Lake City, Utah. Glenn, good morning.
Hi, good morning. My question is, since we're spending all this money, where are we getting the money from? And my second question is, if I could in your mouth.
Apologize for that, Congressman. Don't take that kind of language here on the Washington Journal. We'll move on.
And now.
There's no need to identify whoever it is whose fault this was. We can all learn a lesson here.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBeach Show. It is Tuesday. It's the 5th of January.
Kevin, what's up? Is drunk or tired?
Tired. Which one? I'm tired, yeah.
Yeah.
Tired.
Pretty mumbly right there out of the gate, buddy.
Mumbly?
Yeah.
I didn't notice it.
Really?
That frightens me.
Thank you, Allie.
No, that scares me.
Allie speaks drunk, so that's good.
Pretty well, yeah.
Allie's starting to get used to it.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
So, you guys just going to just live at the station until the storm passes? Or are you going to try to make it home? Or are you calling for emergency vehicles?
Make it. You think we're going to walk outside and get in the car and then drive?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Not
you're
this.
Much, you're just stuck there now,
yeah.
Right?
I hope
maybe you forever.
Sleeping bags, pajamas.
Yeah.
Food. Okay.
Yeah.
It's
treacherous.
It's treacherous, man.
Yeah.
Although, Chip, not a drop on your way in this morning?
Nope.
Or mine.
But Kevin? That doesn't mean it's not coming.
Or mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's coming.
Oh, my God, it's raining!
One of these days is what we forgot to add to that, unfortunately.
I have had the news on, the Channel 2 news on this morning, and it has been 98% weather maps.
Oh, yeah.
So they are bracing as if an asteroid is heading for Los Angeles. That's the level of panic about this storm that's coming.
But how happy are you with weather?
That's, I do love the weather.
Yes.
Yeah. I do love the weather. That's true.
So when they go 24/7, you must love it.
I do enjoy maps.
Yeah.
I do enjoy panic. So it does have a lot of the things that I like. So,
do you have hot weather girls up there?
Very few people in media market television are as hot as you are used to in Southern California.
Okay.
It's just, spoiled. You know, they're hot enough, they don't work in Seattle. You know what I mean?
Got it. They go
to Miami, New York, Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So we lose most of the hotties. They don't last for very long, which is kind of disappointing to me.
Sorry
But I do have the national weather channels, and there's some hotties there. So.
Sorry, I asked.
You watch? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what is there on the national weather channels? Is it just
weather
general,
on the eights?
Just general overall in parts of the country weather?
Well, yeah, you've seen the Weather Channel before.
I know. That's why I'm curious about what you watch.
I watch the Weather Channel because I like to see, you know, all the great stories about all the great weather that's happening around the country. It's fun. And they do, you know,
it's not fun.
Define fun. You use that word a lot.
They do international weather, too, sometimes.
Right.
Really gets me going.
Oh.
Hey, speaking of international weather, do we have time for a quick story?
Sure.
There's a country, apparently, it's one of the stands. It's Kyrgyzstan. Does that sound like a country? Kyrgyzstan? You heard it? You know what I'm talking
Kazakhstan?
About?
Kazakhstan?
Nope.
This
is next to Kazakhstan.
Sure.
And I think it's called Kyrgyzstan.
Okay.
I'm unfamiliar with it, but it's in the news right now. And if I've said one time, I've said a million times, don't make horse penis jokes in Kyrgyzstan. How many times have you heard me say that over the years?
Practically daily.
Almost
every day.
Every day.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because there's a guy who works, he's from Scotland, but he's working in Kyrgyzstan. He works for a mine company. He's a gold miner. And he put up a post on Facebook over New Year's. Apparently there is a tradition in that country. There's some sort of a New Year's food that is traditional in that part of the world that is made out of horse meat. It's a sausage that's made out of horse meat. It's called chuchuk. So he made a joke. There was a news photo of people lining up to buy this horse meat, and he made a joke about how people are lining up for horse penis. That was his joke, because that's what the sausage looks like that the people were buying. He made a joke. Hey, look, it's the traditional lining up for the horse penis. Well, as we learned from the story last month about the guy who got arrested for making unkind remarks about the king of Thailand's dog.
Oh, yeah.
You can imagine that very soon the police were knocking on his door, and he was arrested and held until they decided what charges were going to be. It looked like he was up for inciting inter-ethnic hatred, which is punishable by 3 to 5 years in prison.
Oh.
The people that he works with at the gold mine in that country went on strike to try to get him to be charged, to put pressure on the police to get him to be charged, because they were so offended and outraged that he made a horse penis joke. They questioned him. They ended up deciding on just giving him a warning, but he has been deported from the country.
Oh.
He's no longer working at the gold mine.
Wow.
I know I say this
you
all
the time. You can't have people like that.
You
can't.
Rabble rousers.
Right.
He posted to his Facebook page, by the way, after he took down the horse penis photo, he said, I would like to take the opportunity to sincerely apologize for the comment I made on here about the Kyrgyz people and horse penis. I truly never meant to offend anyone. By the way, I love any apology that includes the words horse penis. I would like to say I truly never meant to offend anyone, and I'm sorry. It was never my intention. I would also like to say to the people in the picture, I know you had absolutely nothing to do with any of this, and I am very, very sorry. So he has been deported. He will no longer be working at the gold mine.
Deported.
Hey, I thought you were supposed to be working over there in the gold mine. What happened? Well.
Yeah, how do you explain that to the family? We gotta move. Where? Out of the country.
How come, Daddy?
Well.
Remember how funny Daddy thought it was to make the horse penis joke on line the other day?
Kids are like, we told you.
So I know that I often say that we take for granted the freedom of the freedom of speech that we have here in the United States, but it's not universal, you guys. I mean, the fact that you can go on and make all the horse penis jokes you want on Facebook today, and you should, by the way.
You're saying you can't do that around the world?
I'm saying there are places where that is frowned upon.
Wow.
I think this is just one of them, so now we know.
That's Bean. He's always trying to encourage us, make us understand what we have.
Yeah.
That's right.
And what we should be thankful for. So
I'm all about the positivity.
And global issues.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. And weather. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBee show, shall we?
Don't want to know. Didn't need to know.
The Bachelor Report is back.
I think the one lady I saw in the promo said it best and speaks for all of us, which is 50 Shades of Crazy. That's what's going on again this year on The Bachelor.
Yeah, I turned it on for a second last night, heard one sentence, and said, I'm out.
Really?
And I'll wait because I'm sure it's going to be a soundbite that he pulls.
Right.
Because good Lord.
Those women.
One sentence. Done.
That's the opposite with me, though. Oh. If I hear that, I'm in.
Oh,
how can you turn that off?
Nope.
That's why people watch. It's a train wreck.
Oh, I couldn't do it.
Oh.
No.
You're messing up.
Well, I will tell you that there are a lot of people like us who don't want to watch The Bachelor but love The Bachelor Report.
Oh, I am so looking forward to this because he makes it even better than I can imagine.
So today is the first day of the season with our friend Petros joining Ralph Garman recapping the show from last night.
Bean makes his guest today. Got a brand new list.
Oh, it's a good one, too.
The King of Mexico has a dog. I mean,
why is dog in quotes?
Sort of a dog. It's kind of a oil slick rat. He put up a picture and it really does look like one of those animals that you just pulled out of the bay when there's an oil spill. I mean, it really does. And you look at it and you go, oh, this is a travesty. That's the picture that he took and put up.
Then maybe Dave deserves a little credit for rescuing that poor little guy. If he's looks like he's in that bad a shape.
But he was in that bad a shape in Dave's custody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he had to take a picture that soon, or he couldn't have taken it someplace and, I don't know, gotten it cleaned?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Not my fault.
And there's an Instagram page for that, which Dave said, no way, no Instagram page. And then he's saying, oh, yeah, my girlfriend's doing it. It's all my girlfriend.
And commenting on Dave's actual page. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
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 The dog is commenting on Dave's outfits.
His dog's Instagram page is commenting. Hey, Dave looks very good today. So that's going on. We need to put a stop to that, right? We have a ski trip today to Crested Butte in Colorado. Got that coming up. We have actor, director, writer, comedian Kevin Pollak on the program today talking about his new show, Angel from Hell. And what's wrong with Star Wars? We all love it. Great. Mm-hmm. But all of us have like little things that sort of bugged us. So we're going to talk about that today as well. We will take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52 on the world famous K-Rock. What's going on?
What's going on is Ralph Garman is here.
That's right.
Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Whoop-de-woo. Can I just take a minute before I get to the show business news to pitch a guest for the Kevin and Bean Show? I know usually we do this off the air in the confines of our bunker where we plan each and every show. But I can't wait. I would like to pitch it now to the room and see if we can get a yay or nay vote.
Okay.
I would like to pitch Scott Waring. Scott Waring is a man who has come forward, which he claims evidence, proof positive, that President John F. Kennedy was assassinated by the CIA.
Yes.
Why, you may ask? Well, President Kennedy was demanding the release of the top secret files about alien visitation to our planet.
Mm.
Apparently that did not sit well with the CIA, so they killed him. JFK apparently was afraid the Soviets would mistake the UFO visitors for a sneak attack by the United States, so he wanted to cooperate with Russia and share the same intelligence when it came to the UFOs. Well, the CIA would have none of that. And so they took him out because of the aliens.
They killed him?
Like you do.
Wow.
Hmm. Scott Waring, right?
Thumbs up.
I'm in.
Like for a whole day.
Love it.
Like a whole morning.
Maybe a week.
just yes. nothing but talking to Scott.
Yes.
Because I love me some crazy.
Ralph, I don't think there's been a presidential candidate or president who hasn't been asked about opening up the UFO files since Roswell. In fact, this week, Hillary Clinton took that question on the campaign trail and said that she would look into it.
Yes. And
this
he is warning Hillary Clinton to be careful because she made those statements.
That's what happens, man.
And he believes that Hillary's likely to make an enemy of the CIA the way Kennedy did. And
I'm in.
Right?
Muggs puts a note up on the screen that he has seen documentaries on this subject, and he believes it.
There you go.
He is in.
That's all you need to know.
He can be our correspondent until we get Mr. Waring on the show.
Scott Waring and Muggs are on the same team. That's all you need to know about my pitch.
All we need is Muggs, right? That's it. Oh, that's so great.
Yep, it is true.
I bet Muggs could tell us everything we need to know about this.
I think he would drop some knowledge on us, much like baseball players are the greatest athletes in the world. It would be a replay of that phenomenon.
So in.
All right. Just glad to hear everybody's on the same page. Ah, I feel... Well, it's good news, bad news.
Right.
For supermodel Kelly Rohrbach. Kelly has just been tapped, according to Variety, to take on the Pamela Anderson role of C.J. Parker in the upcoming Baywatch feature film.
Boobies!
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Zac Efron star, along with Alexandra Daddario. She's playing Summer, the role originally portrayed by Nicole Eggert.
She's ridiculously hot, by the way, that one.
Yes, and that Kelly Rohrbach, ugh, that monster. I don't know how she's going to hold her own against her, but yes, Kelly, apparently. I'm a little concerned because I don't know if just a model in her first big acting gig can take on a role as complex and powerful as CJ.
It's layered. Yeah,
it is
a lot.
There's running.
Running.
Yeah.
And then there's the other.
And then you have to wear that red bathing suit.
Right.
Right.
I don't know if she can handle that or not. That's you need some chops. You need like an Emma Thompson type, I think, really take on that role. Or a Judi Dench.
Maybe not. Maybe not that.
So that's the good news for Kelly Rohrbach. Sad news, she's been kicked to the curb. Leonardo DiCaprio apparently has left the supermodel crying in his wake. They started dating last June, but they've officially called it quits. And Leonardo was seen trying somehow to get over the end of their relationship by partying with several blondes and brunettes at St. Bart's over the holiday weekend at a big New Year's Eve festivity. So I hope he's all right.
Yeah.
I hope he's okay.
He sure enjoys being Leonardo DiCaprio, doesn't he?
Well, wouldn't you?
I guess so.
Except for that whole bear rape thing. Other than that, I think it'd be a good time. He got raped by a bear a couple times.
No, I saw it in a documentary.
Scott Waring and I got out the CIA sent a bear to rape Leonardo DiCaprio. I've seen the film.
Not true.
I've seen the footage. It's in the Zapruder film, Kevin.
It is?
Take a look. You'll see.
There's a bear on the grassy knoll?
Getting raped by a bear on the grassy knoll.
Wow. Watch that more thoroughly.
Yes, you do.
Wow.
Allie, let me ask you this question. If you had the opportunity to have sex with Leonardo DiCaprio, really?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
So,
me too.
You wouldn't mind?
I was going to say, I'm next. Yeah.
I'm in. Yeah. I'd like to go before Kevin, if that's
how
all right.
I'd like
dare
to go
you.
Before both of you.
I'd like to go before the bear, actually.
You know what? Beggars can't be choosers. I'll take him after the bear.
Beggars can't be choosy, I heard.
That's what I heard yesterday.
That's what I heard.
No, the only reason I ask is I just wondered if there's a point at which, after the first 1,000 women that he's had sex with, that you think, I don't want to be part of that group. But apparently there is not.
I look at it as he's obviously getting better at it, right?
Okay.
Practice makes perfect.
Yep.
And if you got to be part of a club. That's a pretty hot club to be a part of.
Amen. Right.
He wins.
You know, him and the Departed? Oh.
Well, you can't have sex with him from 15 years ago. You know, it has to be today.
No, I still do dad bod Leonardo.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
You don't want him in his Revenant glory? You don't want him all...
How about if he had that beard?
All smelly and hairy and smelling like bison liver?
Oh. Still, yeah. Yeah, still would.
All right.
That's how hot Leonardo DiCaprio is, by the way. He could walk into the room covered in bear poop, and Allie would still have sex with him.
Yeah.
That's not poop! And sad news, we say goodbye to media mogul Robert Stigwood.
I don't know who that is.
I'm sure you're not.
Who is it?
A lot of people would know who he is, okay. But I don't think you're one of them.
All right.
But if you don't know him, you...
Shut up, shut up.
If you don't know him, you know his work.
I would like that clip, Chip, if you went by. That would be very useful.
Because he was a legendary figure in not only music, but also in motion pictures. He started off his career as business partners with the Beatles manager Brian Epstein. Then he moved on to watch over bands like Cream, The Who, and most famously, the Bee Gees as their manager. He produced a little film called Saturday Night Fever.
Wow.
He got his band, the Bee Gees, to perform on the soundtrack album, which is still the best-selling soundtrack of all time. Then he followed up with the big screen of the Broadway play Grease, did the big screen version of that, also produced that film soundtrack as well.
Wow.
He signed Eric Clapton, Jack Bruce, and Ginger Baker, put them together in the band Cream. He had quite the influence and quite the career over his years in Australia, London, and the United States. And he was a big, 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 big deal. And now he's very dead.
He was killed by the CIA.
By the CIA.
That's what I've heard.
Because John released the fact that the Bee Gees were aliens.
Yeah.
I saw it in a documentary. Uh-huh. They had to be aliens, the way they sang. That's not human.
By the way, Dean loves them.
Listen, I you know, who's the last guy?
Them.
Who has two thumbs and doesn't want to ever agree with Bean? This guy.
Yes.
But I'm a huge Bee Gees fan.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Not just the disco era stuff, but like the early stuff, like the...
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they're a great band.
They're very impressive harmonies, and I think their work is excellent.
Well, let's not forget little brother Andy either, by the way.
Right, man. Right.
I still own AndyGibb.com.
He's with me, right?
Oh, I forgot being owned AndyGibb.com. One of his many websites that he just doesn't not do anything with.
He's a squatter.
Ever. He is a squatter. He's an what internet
look,
squatter.
I'm going to get around to the best ever Andy Gibb tribute site.
But
it's
only
of these
five
days.
People left who know who Andy Gibb is. Well, you're running out of time.
That may be true, actually, yeah. See, this is when I'm retired, guys. I'm going to have the best Andy Gibb website
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, wow, big list of very talented people. Robert Duvall, for example. It kicks us off with Robert Duvall, 85 years old today. One of the greats. Just seems like just the crankiest man on the planet, but a great actor. Charlie Rose, TV talk show host extraordinaire, is 74. Kevin, you love Charlie Rose, don't you?
Dull.
How can you not love Charlie Rose?
Dull.
It's not dull. Two people talking to each other about subjects at length in depth is a lost art. It's fascinating.
Is he still talking?
Yeah.
See, Kevin loves me in that one sentence. No wonder you can't watch Charlie Rose. Diane Keaton is 70 years old today. Marilyn Manson's 47. Bradley Cooper, Philly's own, 41 years old. January Jones is 38. DJ Deadmau5 is 35 years old today. And actor Oscar Isaac, probably best known to a whole new generation of moviegoers as Poe Dameron, celebrates his 36th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Go to krock.com, do yourself a favor, and peruse the lineups for all three nights of each weekend of Coachella 2016, because that was announced yesterday for the Empire Polo Fields, April 15, 16, 17, and April 22, 23, 24. Tickets are going on sale this Wednesday at 11 a.m. So, look, they don't even have to advertise. They could put Coachella up, and it would sell out without any bands being announced, right? Didn't they do that one year?
Yes.
Yeah.
LCD Sound System and Ellie Goulding and Guns N' Roses and Disclosure and Churches and Halsey and Calvin Harris and Sia and Major Lazer, and the list goes on and on and on. There's something for everybody. Coachella 2016. Again, all the details. Check them out, won't you, at krock.com. Tickets go on sale Wednesday morning, 11 o'clock.
The end of last year, Dave the King of Mexico came in and said, hey, I'm going to get a dog. I'm going to name it Rhonda Ruffy.
Yeah.
Already have the name.
Yeah.
And we are going to have a puppy shower.
Yeah.
We had a long conversation about the puppy shower, and I believe we're all out.
No one's gone.
Yeah. Not you guys. I don't care. It's going to be awesome.
All right. Listen to Dave.
Yeah. You don't know, man. You don't even know.
Was Sunday when you showed the dog to the world?
Yes.
Or the rat?
Yes.
It's Sunday. Not. Look, I love dogs.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
I love dogs.
No, you don't.
But I have two categories. I have cute,
mm-hmm.
or ugly cute. Some sure. dogs are really ugly, but they're sort of cute in their ugliness.
Yeah.
But Dave's is ugly.
Oh.
That's the problem.
There's, new category.
There's zero cute in that.
What's your problem with Rhonda Ruffy?
Wait, hold on. Before Kevin, you know, gets his problem, Allie, what do you think of the dog?
I think...
You be honest.
I think Rhonda has very cute qualities. I just think
I think the
Chip? Picture you posted, Dave, didn't do Rhonda justice.
Which is fine.
I think it comes with the rights to the Sarah McLachlan song.
That's why no one likes Chip. All right, go ahead, Kevin.
All right, so Sunday, right?
Sunday, yes.
So he puts it up, and immediately we start texting. Allie and Chip and everybody were like, oh my God, did you see Dave's dog? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It really does look like a rat that got out of an oil slick. That is what it looks like. So I'm just saying, is it? That's my question first.
It's a nice little fluffy puppy.
It's a dog?
Yeah, nice little fluffy puppy.
It's in the dog family?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
It's funny because it's the same dog as the one you have. So
same breed?
Same breed, yeah.
Yeah. Really?
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Does it look anything like mine?
Yeah. So, well, mine is a little more mixed, though. So it's
mixed with mud?
Yeah, mine has it's a Maltese Yorkie.
Mixed with mud or oil?
Yeah. It's a Maltese Yorkie, so it's a little fluffy little thing. Yeah.
It's one point. I think what Kevin's struggling with is the different shades of the fur.
Yeah, it's black and brown.
Maybe thought, okay, it's dirty. He didn't realize that was the actual fur color, maybe? Kevin?
Oh,
trying to help?
No, I'm not even sure it's a dog yet.
Okay.
I mean, he's saying it is. I understand that. But it really does look like a rat.
Bean, what's your thoughts?
I'm not a fan of those tiny little dogs.
I like little dogs.
I'm fine with... I like lots of different kinds of dogs. Like, I'm fine with... Like, a Chihuahua is not an exciting dog for me. Whatever your little dog is not my type. But look, I love all dogs. And I'm sure that in person, Rhonda Ruffy is super fun and super cute.
Oh, she's adorable. She's the cutest.
I don't have any problem. I was surprised... How old is she?
She is 3 months.
I was surprised at 3 months old, though, and without an opposable thumb, she was able to set up an Instagram page. I mean,
that was
a surprise to me.
That's a smart dog.
Yeah.
We had that conversation, and Muggs – sorry, Muggs. I apologize.
Oh, thank you.
Dave says no Instagram account. No way. And I said, that's not possible. You are lying. You're going to have an Instagram account.
Because Dave's the king of the animal Instagram account.
Yeah. No, listen, that's not me. That's my girlfriend.
Oh,
and honestly, I have nothing to do with that.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. And the one time she did comment at me, I did get mad and go, stop it. And she happened to be in the account. And yeah.
How many pets do you follow on Instagram?
Oh, I don't know, man. A lot.
20?
Probably. If not that.
25, 30.
And Marnie and Lil Bub are the two biggest, right?
Yeah. Probably. Now Jeff Palm's coming up in the ranks, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, so.
I love Jeff Palm.
Yeah.
He or she is awesome.
Yeah, Pomeranian. Oh, yeah. It's like ever since Boo left, Jif Pong came to take its place.
You know? R.I.P. Boo, though, yeah. Right? I mean, that was definitely him or her.
I don't know, Boo? Oh, most famous dog. Come on.
Did Boo die?
No, just that she's off. He's not.
Okay, so I bring that up because this is a guy who says he's not going to put together an Instagram account, but he follows like 30 other dogs on Instagram.
Listen, I barely post on my own, let alone, you know, I'm not going to post for a dog, especially my dog. But the puppy shower is going to be awesome, dude.
Okay, puppy shower. Let's get to that.
Yeah. Well, first of all, are you, you're set on the name?
The name's awesome. Okay. By the way,
he
you search
the name before the dog.
You search Ronda on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's Ronda Rousey, Ronda Ruffy, number two. Boom. That's good. That's good thinking right there, man.
Okay.
Yeah, Kevin, you need to get another little dog named Holly Holm and then show Dave's dog what's up.
Bring them both in.
Right.
See how it goes?
Cage match.
So why do you hate cute?
All right, puppy shower.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't hate cute. I find cute and ugly cute. I just don't have, hey, that's really not a dog. It's more of of some type of sewer rat. It's been in the sewage for, I don't know, its whole life.
I will say this. I might have clicked on the Instagram page, and there's a picture of the puppy's face
doing a
thing with the computer.
Yeah, coming above the computer. It's adorable, isn't it?
Pretty damn cute, Kevin. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Did you see her run in the video?
I'm saying the picture that you posted to introduce Rhonda to the world did it disservice.
Which is fine, but... You know, as Krista posts more on her account, then you will see how adorable and cute she is.
And I will say this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Rescue dog.
Boom.
That changed things for me, Dave. You know how adamant I was about you not getting a puppy from
a lot of people puppy got, mill. A lot of people got to me. And I just said, all right, let's just do this now.
Good for you. Yeah.
That's the only positive thing out of this. The only thing. Okay, so shower. Puppy shower. Allie, going?
No.
Chip, going?
No.
I'm not going. Bean?
No.
Yeah. Look, fine. I don't need you because there's going to be nothing but chicks, dogs, booze, and fun. Boom. Puppy shower mother effers.
When?
I don't know. We got to set the date. She has to get bigger and heavier. And so we got to.
Cleaned up.
We got to get her a little heavier.
Or something.
Dude, she only weighs 1 pound, 6 ounces.
Degreased.
Come on. Come on. Degreased.
I'm saying come on. It doesn't look like
Have you
like
seen her round eyes? Oh, she's so adorable.
Does it look like she's covered in oil?
No, not at all.
The picture you posted, I thought
I don't know
maybe
what
you rescued her from
a
fire. There was soot on her. It just...
What
it,
do you mean I don't know what covered in oil means to
you guys? Did you see her run and bounce on all four paws?
Oh, it's adorable. The picture that you sent makes her look like you got her just right out of the bay from an oil spill.
Listen, other than Kevin, everybody loves it. It's already my top liked post in 2016. Boom.
Wow,
easily.
That was just said.
Man, oh man. And on the 5th already. Man, you really peaked.
Dude, I'm really sad because nothing I'm going to post later in the year compares to it unless it's more of her. And, you know. Yeah. Hey, look, I'm happy with it.
Uh-huh.
I'm happy with her,
mm-hmm.
and then you should be happy for me.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, okay. Only because it's a rescue, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not a rescue,
why does Kevin hate
we beat the hell
puppies?
I don't hate puppies. I'm just saying maybe keep them clean. You know? Maybe.
By the way,
maybe a bath. Don't they have,
we gave her a bath yesterday, and I almost sent you a picture of the dog all wet because then it would have just fully supported your theory.
And the drain
I was like, oh my God, look, you have no hair.
The drain completely stopped by oil?
No. I will bring her and you will love her.
Will I go to the shower?
You? Nah, I don't think so.
No, the answer is no.
No, I don't think you'll go to anything, but, you know. But I'll bring her and you will love her. I guarantee.
All right. Congratulations.
Yay!
You guys ready for me to make you guess?
Yes!
Bean makes us guess, yeah!
Ooh, ooh!
Bean makes us guess, yeah!
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick!
Pretty dope, man!
Just wanna tell ya!
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean makes us guess!
Yes! I have been looking forward to this moment since Christmas Day when I first saw the article. It's the annual release from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
their database of American emergency room visits for the year just passed. 2015, ladies and gentlemen, once again was a banner year for Americans getting things stuck in their butts.
USA!
I thought it would make a fun Bean Makes Us Guess to go around the room a few times and see if you can guess the items that were pulled from Americans' rectums in 2015.
Put a bumblebee in your butt.
Exactly. Exactly. So just to give you a moment to think about that, use your imagination, and then as usual, we will start with Kevin. Kevin, what item is on this list, once again, from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission that was pulled out of a person's butt in an American emergency room in 2015?
Xbox One.
Oh, come on, Kevin.
I am sorry. If that is really
be
your guess.
It would be impressive, though, right?
It would be.
I am sorry. There
Put
were
an
no
Xbox One in your butt.
Yeah, why is it Boogie in Your Butt or a theme song for this? Nice effort, though, Kevin. Right. But no, I'm sorry. No Xbox One. Ralph, I believe you have the next guest.
Well, the first thing that springs to mind, when the most obvious, would be sex toy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. Lots of dildos, homemade dildos and otherwise, and sex toys. Yes, of course. That's an easy point, but we'll give it to you, Allie.
Where is it? Where is it on the list?
They're not ranked.
I quit.
They're not ranked.
A bottle of some sort?
Yes. Yeah, bottles good definitely bottle. On the list.
Bottle,
yes.
Good.
There's a glass bottle, there are pill bottles, and there are also toy baby bottles all on the list.
Genre of bottles.
Yeah, well done.
Fruit.
I am not seeing any fruit, Kevin. I'm sorry. That would have been, made a lot of sense.
It was somebody, positive that was a good one.
Somebody would have tried fruit. That with a
I've done it.
What?
Kevin.
Is a cucumber a fruit?
I think it's a
that's more of a vegetable,
oh,
I guess.
All right. Okay.
It's just like a bigger picture, I guess. Those
just
types of food items. I thought there would have been one as well, but not this year.
I will go now with my next guess, which will be coming forth from my mouth, and it is flashlight.
Yes, flashlight is on the list.
Wow.
Well done, Ralph.
Okay.
Put a flashlight in your butt.
Allie McKay.
What about like a toy, like an action figure?
Yes. Toy is actually, there are small toys and large toys. There are plastic squinky toys, as it is described here.
Oh, squinky.
You know, the squinky toy.
The squinky. It's fun for a girl in a butt.
there's a toy shark on the list.
Sure.
Lots of toys. So well done.
Oh, good.
All right, Kevin. I don't believe you're on the board yet.
Day's oil slick rat.
No.
Ron.
Fortunately, there are no dogs or any animals on the list.
But looks like it, right? We can all agree on that.
It's like
no.
Somebody's butt.
Yes.
All right. Since Kevin's not playing, I'll take the turn.
Hey, I'm playing, man.
You're not playing. How about light bulb?
Let me see.
The famous light bulb.
You know what? I wonder if Americans resisted the urge of a light bulb this year.
Come on, USA. This is why we're falling behind in Japan.
I guarantee they did it in Japan this year.
Yeah, you're damn right.
Ralph. That's an excellent guess, but no light bulbs this year.
Oh.
Adam McKay.
I'm trying to think of things you might have around the home that could, if you fell on it, like a toothbrush or a hairbrush, a brush of some sort.
Toothbrush is on the list. Hairbrush is on the list. Toilet brush is on the list.
Oh,
so we got brushes.
A whole family of brushes.
Wow.
All right, let's go around one more time, and then I'll reveal the others. Kevin, your final guess. Please.
Nunchucks.
Come on, Kevin.
Again, that would be awesome.
I am sorry. No nunchucks.
I hope I can pull an alley here and get a large grouping, a scope of genre of elements. I would like to say. Can like a hairspray can or a paint can or
aerosol cans are on the list, ladies and gentlemen.
Aerosol cans, I went with an aerosol can in my butt.
Ralph listed like seven things until he got it right.
No, but I was thinking
they're
the
all cans.
Aerosol can. That's what I should have said. Aerosol can.
By the way, I don't want to say that this is right up Ralph's rectum, right up Ralph's area, but I don't think he missed.
It's up
I think
alley.
He was.
I missed with light bulb.
All right, he's pretty good at this game. All right, Allie, the final guess, please.
By the way, I haven't missed. Just want to make that very clear.
Let's call Dr. Drew and tell her she hasn't missed.
I'm going to say maybe you're in your kitchen and you fall on, say, a rolling pin making a pie.
Let me see. Pretty specific.
I'm just saying.
I may have just missed.
What type of pie?
Apple.
I do not see a rolling pin. I'm so sorry.
That's all
right. Everyone.
A rolling pin?
I don't know. I was thinking
Have you ever seen a rolling pin?
Yes. That's why I was thinking it might be
Why did you just say fire hydrant?
Here are some of the other ones on the list. I think everybody played well.
Thank you.
Plastic bags with pills, pill bottles, and things like that.
People didn't think drugs, of course. I'm thinking about the pleasurable elements of the ice.
No one came up with dice. No one came up
with
dice.
Crayons.
I'm going to roll a seven. Look out. Oh, I crapped out.
There were crayons. There were coins. Did anyone say salt shaker? I don't think we heard salt shaker.
No. I'm stuck on crapped out.
Good.
There's water gun. There's bathtub drain plug. Bobby pins. This one concerns me, a screwdriver. How about this, a wooden leg of a chair.
Like a rolling pin.
A magic marker. A spiky rubber ball that lights up. That one is an actual sex toy, by the way. I think you covered that, Ralph. And an egg.
Dog toy.
And an egg is the final one on the list. America did a pretty good job, ladies and gentlemen. Again, courtesy of the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. That's what you put up your butt last year. And this has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Kevin joining us, or is he just not listening?
Eventually.
What's happening?
Not sure.
He really is just not even looking up. This is so... This is really... Now it's getting troubling and concerning.
What?
What are you doing?
Working.
Chip goes...
Stuff?
1 minute, Kevin, and then nothing. And 45, Kevin. Kevin's still doing
his thing.
I thought
being the broadcaster that he is would just go, hey, everybody, it's K-Rock, and move right on, and I could stand up and come in, and no one would know.
But I'm just so fascinated. I thought, is he doing another show over there? Is he writing a book? What could he possibly be doing in his corner there?
Very important tweet.
Okay, all right. Well,
very important.
Now I have to look.
Save all that time on proofreading it before you hit publish, though. I know that. All right, here's a story to get you guys excited. This is a priest in the Philippines who has been sanctioned by the church, a Catholic priest who has really had to apologize because they said he was taking the attention away from Jesus and the service on Christmas Eve and putting it on himself when he showed up in front of the congregation in church on a hoverboard, ladies and gentlemen. I thought this video was awesome, and I think it's great, and I think it would get a lot more people interested in church if the priest has an awesome entrance. Right? A little show business. A little flash.
Like a football team where they run out through some explosions and
stuff? Yeah, with some cheerleaders? I don't know. But what did you think when you saw the video of this priest on the hoverboard going down the aisle?
It didn't bother me. I thought, hey, he could actually make a lot more eye contact with people because he's able to cover a lot more ground.
And there's a chance he could fall at any moment.
And
so I'm paying
awesome.
Extra attention.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, he can credit God for keeping him up on the hoverboard. Mm. So I think there are lessons to be learned from his entrance, but we wanted to find out more about this. So I believe we have Father Skip McCoy joins us on the phone with the Catholic Church. Hey, Father, welcome to the program, sir.
Yo, dudes, what's up?
Wow. Now, you are not...
Hey, Christ be with you, my brothers.
Well, and you as well, right?
Yeah, woo!
So you are not
riding
part...
the hoverboard. Look at me riding the hoverboard.
Oh, you're on the hoverboard right now during the interview?
Hell yeah! It's awesome. These boards are awesome.
Okay, so you are the priest that had made the news for riding the hoverboard in the Christmas Eve service.
Yeah, The archdiocese. You know, I originally was a priest in Southern California, and then they said, "Hey, why don't you go to the Philippines?" I'm like, "Righteous."
So, what did you think about the church superiors and their complaint that you were drawing eyes away from the focus of the day, which should have been on Jesus Christ our Lord?
Look, I'm just trying to use whatever I can to spread the word of the Lord, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so sometimes I think you need to update the mass a little bit to get people involved, is what I'm saying. Because, look, we're competing now with, like, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Right.
And like, how are we going to get people's attention? We don't, you know, spice up the church a little bit.
Now, yeah.
Look, I know it's not traditional, right, or whatever. Yeah. And yes, okay, I stopped wearing my Ed Hardy robes to mass. I thought that was enough. But, you know, you come on, dudes. Let's get with Jesus. Woo!
How long was the suspension? Is it over now, or?
Yeah, I go back to work on Sunday.
Okay.
All right. I'm the hoverboard dude. Look at me. I'm over here now. And now I'm over here and we'll close it out. Far away over here. Woo!
So the Catholic Church obviously has survived. It's been around for a long time. But you think here in the 21st century, just a bunch of guys in robes speaking Latin is not cutting it anymore.
Right, man. Look, I'm putting the extreme in Xmas. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Father Skip, what's it been like? What have the parishioners thought? Have they been into it?
They love it, man.
Yeah.
It's like, sometimes we'll get together in the back in the rectory where I've got all my weights, and we'll pump up our chest and pump up our souls. Woo! Who's with me? Pecs for Jesus!
I can't imagine. Pecs for Jesus is going to catch on.
I'm changing the communion. Now we have gluten-free wafers.
Wow.
You're going to put on any extra pounds, you know? Jesus hates a fatty.
Right, I've heard that. That's in the Bible, right?
That's right. I got protein shakes instead of wine. I'm updating stuff, man. Healthy body, healthy soul. That's what I'm saying. Woo! Thanks for Christ.
Thanks for Christ. Well, it sounds to me like you're doing great work, Skip.
Clean and jerk for Jesus.
Oh.
That's a weightlifting term.
Yeah, but maybe not so much that one.
Oh, come on. Come on. Jesus loves weights.
Does he?
He was ripped.
Was he?
See him on that cross? He shredded, dude.
Okay. All right, Skip.
Look at me. I'm a... Ow! Ah! Ah!
What?
Father Skip.
What happened? You okay?
The hoverboard's on fire.
What? Oh, the hoverboard's on fire?
This must be what hell is like. It's a burning hoverboard. Oh, it's a burning hoverboard of Satan. Oh, it burns. It
so
burns
sad.
Like Satan's eyes.
Okay.
Oh, this is not safe. Oh, hoverboards are no longer safe. Don't use them. Oh, Jesus, help me. Jesus, put out the fire. I'm on fire, Jesus. Hey, Jesus, I'm talking to you. What the? Hey, who's got some holy water? Come on. Like, oh, come on, it hurts. This is burning me very much. Ouch. Ouch. This is, oh, come on. This is going to blister. Someone take me to Lourdes.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:53.
It is the ultimate getaway prize package to beautiful Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado. You get to go courtesy of Alaska Airlines, round trip airfare from LAX to Crested Butte, Colorado, lodging for 3 nights, lift tickets, ski rentals, a great weekend for you. What are we looking for this time around, folks, at 1-800-520-1067?
You have to know things about snow.
Yes.
Huh. Know things about snow.
Yes. And all that could possibly mean. Not just the frozen water kind of snow. You have all kinds of snows.
So snow enthusiasts is what we're looking for.
You know your snow.
Know your snow.
Oh, we should have called it Know Your Snow.
Is it too late?
I think it is.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to earn these tickets coming up just after 7. Between now and then, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday.
Just heard you talking to that Catholic priest about the...
The hoverboard.
R.I.P., man.
The hoverboard. Mass he did there in the Philippines?
Yeah.
Just breaking news today, appropriately. Most major airlines announced today they will no longer allow you to take your hoverboard on a flight with you.
Yeah.
Because they're bursting into flames.
Mm-hmm.
They're blowing up.
That seems bad.
Right? Yeah. You don't want that. You certainly don't want it on a plane.
Can I tell you how shocked I am that Kevin doesn't already have a hoverboard?
Yeah. That's true. I'm disappointed.
How shocked am I he hasn't burst into flames on top of a hoverboard?
Doesn't it seem like something now that Kevin would be like first in line for?
Now that I know it lights on fire, that's even more reason for me to get it. I love fire.
Kevin came in yesterday after the long holiday vacation, and he was wearing his his patented cargo shorts, and his legs were the legs of a six-year-old. He had like a raspberry and a scrape and like
a bruise.
Yeah, and there was also like an odd black sort of asphalt patch where he had like rolled around and fell playing hopscotch or something. He's got the legs of a child. I don't know what he does to himself when he's at home, but it looks like something that a preschooler would do. You carry the wounds of a preschooler, sir.
I can't think of a reason why Kevin would be crawling around on his hands and knees in gravel at his age. I can't think of a scenario where that makes sense to me.
It wasn't gravel, but I mean, it was, you know.
What? No, we don't. No. That's why we're waiting for an answer.
Were you in the driveway on your hands and knees?
No,
in the
wasn't
road?
Really on my hands and knees. It wasn't really on my knees, right?
It was on your calf. You had sort of like a black, like industrial smudge.
I have no idea what that was.
Well, how do you?
I don't have any idea what that was.
I just thought you were playing on like a dirty parking lot floor or something.
No.
Had you been go-karting and were in an accident?
Where did the scrapes and the road rash and the knee nicks come from? What are you doing on your knees so much?
Oh. What are the...
This is going to drive me crazy.
What are the... You're making a gesture with your hands.
Yes, what are the things? Remote control and then they fly. What are those?
Drones?
Like
drones. Yeah. Tried a drone. It was going the wrong way. I had to run after it and save it.
Okay.
And I did, but I got hurt in the process, which makes me, I think, a hero.
Oh, because you leapt and caught it.
Correct.
And fell.
Thank you.
Okay.
I just think you're terrific.
Where were you running?
There's a park
oil
right by
refinery
my...
where you were running in where you were trying to catch your drone.
There's a park right by my house. I don't know about the black thing. I don't know what that was. It just looked like I bumped up against a car tire or something. No big deal.
But that's, I think when you couple that with the raspberry and with the scrapes,
I always
all
have
of
scrapes
that.
And stuff. I mean, let's be honest.
Your pocket full of yo-yos and jacks and frogs and clothespins and all the things that that Dennis the Menace would carry around. It's an odd mixture. We're just concerned. That's
just
all.
Saying. All good. It's all good.
All right. Hey, Miley Cyrus may be back to dating men again. She may have gone from one team to the other. People magazine caught her making out last Sunday with her ex-fiance Liam Hemsworth. Apparently they were at the Falls Music Festival in Australia, and the two were spotted canoodling, as they say, kissing, drinking, making out, hanging out in the VIP area. If you're Liam Hemsworth, do you go back to that? Well,
I don't think you go there in the first place.
Once you escaped, do you want to go back inside? Want to go back in the Huskow, in the Gray Bar Hotel?
I don't get that.
And he had her like in the best time to have her before she went all loony.
But couldn't he do better on his worst day?
He's dreamy.
Yeah.
He's dreamy. Maybe he heard Milky Milky Milk and thought, "Well, I gotta go back." I had no idea what an artist she was with her song Milky Milky Milk.
Yeah.
Anyway, looks like they're back together again. The world of celebrity romance. This is a disturbing thought. Mama June. You know Mama June.
Sure.
From Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. TMZ.com. You may want to check it out this morning if you have a strong stomach. Has photos of her getting a lap dance from a stripper named Sassy Cassie.
Nope.
During a meet and greet at the Deja Vu Showgirls Club in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. Look, I understand. I have some experience with the world of erotic dancers.
Right.
And I know it's not an easy life, but how hard did Sassy Cassie cry afterwards back in the dressing room after that?
And just rethink her whole life.
Her whole thing. She said, I need an education. I got to change everything about what I'm doing. Because I just gave her a lap dance and I had to pretend like I liked it.
Yeah.
Just the tears of a stripper. Name of my autobiography, by the way.
I like it.
Hey, Ruff, she doesn't have a TV show anymore. There's no more Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
No,
right?
Sir, there's not.
So she wasn't there because they were filming it for some wacky stunt on television? It was just for fun?
She is going to appear on, I forget the name of it, but it's a reality relationship show about getting people back together. Her and Sugar Bear, apparently, are going to appear on this show.
Okay.
So maybe they were filming it for that
maybe,
segment.
Yeah, okay.
But regardless, you don't want to give... You don't want to give Mama June a lap dance.
No.
You don't want to do that.
Her favorite foods are sketty and butter.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No. Apparently the stripper said she was on her lap and she felt crunching. It turns out Mama June had cheese balls stuffed down her back. It was just... Thank you. Thank you so much. Today's celebrity birthdays...
DJ Deadmau5 is 35 years old today. He wears that head, that mouse head. Oh, that's funny. Oscar Isaac. You know him? Poe. Poe Dameron.
By the way, he's great in everything, isn't he?
Turns out he's pretty terrific.
Unbelievable. That
and
guy.
Dreamy. The ladies love Oscar Isaac.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's 36 years old. Speaking of Dreamy, January Jones, right? Who's with me? 38 years old. Of course, Don Draper's wife for many seasons on Mad Men. Kevin, how far are you into Mad Men right now?
Well, I got probably halfway through the pilot.
Oh, the first
pilot
season? Episode? Oh, that's a good start.
The pilot episode.
Oh, the pilot episode. First episode.
You got a lot to look forward to.
The pilot, yeah. I'm not catching up on that.
Bradley Cooper's 41 years old today. One of the greatest shows ever on television, by the way, Mad Men, Kevin. Yeah. You're just going to give up? You just resign yourself to never enjoying that?
Yeah, I'm all right. You're okay with that. I'm okay without it.
Bradley Cooper's 41, Marilyn Manson's 47, Diane Keaton is 70, Charlie Rose, TV talk show host, is 74, and actor Robert Duvall, 85 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about a trip to Colorado, you guys? Talking about the beautiful Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort. Alaska Airlines round-trip airfare tickets from LAX to Crested Butte, Colorado. Lodging for 3 nights, lift tickets, ski rentals. That's all for you at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we like to call Snow Business.
There's no business like snow, business like no business we know. If you want to ski in Colorado, your life will never be the same. We will ask a question, and if you know, then you'll go, you'll win the game.
Yes, sir! There's no business like snow business!
As you've often said, Ralph, well, we've got a lot of snowboarders and one skier on the line. They're all lined up, ready to go to play the game. What do you want them to know ahead of time?
Here's the thing. It's a twist. Ha ha. You people thought you'd be asking questions about frozen water? Wrong. These are
famous. We don't have that many questions about frozen water.
These are famous snows. These are performers, musicians, fictional characters, all famously have snow in their name.
All right.
Famous snows.
See how this goes. Who's up first today, Kevin?
Christian in Calabasas. Hi there.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, Christian. Here's your question. The smash hit TV series Three's Company aired for 8 seasons on ABC from the late 70s and early 80s. Revolving around three single roommates, this role on Three's Company made Suzanne Summers a TV star. What was the name of her character on Three's Company?
Oh, my God. I've never seen that show in my life.
Oh, you're missing out. Classic. Chrissy Snow. Chrissy Snow was what we were looking for. Sorry, Christian.
Thanks for playing. Very troubling. My grandpa used to watch that show all the time.
Oh, and then, yeah. And then look at that Chrissy.
He would say, don't tell Grandma. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, Grandma, I got a thing for Chrissy.
Don't tell Grandma.
Because right. There's snow on the rooftop doesn't mean there's not a furnace in the fire. And I'd like snow on the rooftop.
Let's go to...
I need my penis.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Vera in Pasadena. Hi.
Good morning.
Hey, Vera. Here's your question. This is a major character in the first 6 seasons of Game of Thrones, played by actor Kit Harington. Game of Thrones.
I have no clue.
Big character.
Snow is in the answer.
Jon Snow is what we're looking for. His name. Yeah, sorry, Vera.
All right, 0-2. Not a good start, guys.
Not good at all.
All right, Jason in Hollywood's going to turn this right around.
Yep, he is.
What do you got, Ralph?
Hey, ready to turn around, guys.
All right.
All right, Jason. This Disney princess was a bit of a slut before she met her Prince Charming. She was living with 7 midgets at the same time.
Snow White?
She's the one. Boom!
Well done. You hold on.
You're on the list.
Don't tell Grandma.
Let's go to Jean in Hacienda Heights. Hi there.
Hello. Hi, guys.
Hi, Jean.
Hi.
Why do you sound like you don't want to be on the phone with us?
Hello, whatever.
I do. I'm concentrating. I'm totally concentrating.
All right.
Okay.
We didn't call you. We're not telemarketers here. You called us, okay?
All right, here you go, Jean. In the Hunger Games... Excuse me, in the Hunger Games...
Very different show. Right?
The Hunger Games franchise. Donald Sutherland plays the main antagonist of the series, the autocratic ruler of the capital and all of Panem. What's the character's name?
I have no clue.
Oh, Jean. President Coriolanus Snow.
He's President Snow.
President Snow.
Right there in the name.
President Snow.
Yeah.
All right, so our listeners haven't seen Hunger Games. They haven't seen Game of Thrones. They haven't seen Three's Company.
Nope, nothing. This should be interesting if they know the next one.
Oh, no. Let's go to Caesar in Wilmington.
Good morning.
Good morning, Caesar. Here's your question. Darren O'Brien is a Canadian reggae musician. He's better known by his stage name and for this smash hit single from 1992. Here's an audio clue. What is Darren's stage name?
No, I don't know.
Here's a hint.
Take
it has Snow in it somewhere.
Snow in the title.
Darren Snow?
No, simply Snow.
Snow is always
his stage name. Snow.
All right. Don't watch TV. Well. Don't listen to the radio.
Right. They just ski and snowboard, these people.
Right. That's all they do. Let's go to Christina in La Crescenta.
Yes.
Christina, have you ever seen a movie and or TV show?
I have, but these are difficult.
Oh, stop it. They're not. Here's yours. This actress and singer is best known for her role as Chloe Beale in the hit films Pitch Perfect and Pitch Perfect 2.
Ready for now!
Well done.
She exploded with the answer.
She did.
Well done.
All right. Dare we move on?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay.
Let's go to William in Little Rock, California.
Where the hell is Little Rock, California, William?
Palmdale.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Sounds better than Palmdale. You're right.
Yeah.
All right, William, here's your question. This Northern Irish rock band formed in 1993, but it was propelled to international fame in 2006 with this smash hit single. Here's your audio clue. If I lay here.
My buddies are going to kill me because I should know this. I'm going to just guess Snow Patrol, though.
Yeah! You got it. Well done.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Hold on. You're in the drawing.
We're in business now, you guys.
There we go. One more.
Should we try?
I say one more.
One more? All right. This is always a mistake. Javier in Azusa. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Javier. Here's your question. I hope you're up in your current events. Here's your question. This former CIA employee copied classified information from the NSA and disclosed them to the public in 2013. Facing charges, he ran away to Moscow, Russia, where he still lives to this day. Do you know the name of this newsmaker?
Oh, my God, no, not at all.
It involves Snow.
And WikiLeaks, if that helps. And Snow.
Snow is...
Snooki Wo-Wo?
What?
Snooki Wo-Wo?
That's a great guess.
Edward Snowden. We're looking for Edward Snowden. Whistleblower Edward Snowden.
Okay. All right. Thank you for playing anyway. We appreciate it. All right. So Jason is a yay. Christina is a yay. William is a yay. They all knew their snow in snow business, and they are in the drawing, Alan McKay, to take the trip to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado. Airfare courtesy of Alaska Airlines. Who's our big winner?
Oh, she was pretty excited. It's Christina.
Christina. Yay!
Oh, sweet Jesus. Look, were you just murdered?
No, I just want tickets to Colorado.
Right.
Snowboard.
You enjoy that and don't make that noise ever again.
There's no business like snow business. You know now that you'll go.
It's always a lot of fun to welcome our next guest to the Kevin Bean Show. And I will tell you, I always feel underemployed when comedian, podcaster, director, writer Kevin Pollak steps in. But he is back. Hey, Kevin. How are you, man?
Thank you. Please be seated.
We're already sitting down, but it's good to see you. Happy New Year. How you been?
I've been very well, thanks. I'm excited for the new year. Mm-hmm. Last one seemed to be overworked, which, a man of my situation loves. Can't get enough of the overworked.
Was last year the year that you made or was released your fantastic documentary where you interviewed all the comedians, The Misery Loves Comedy? Was that last year?
Yes. We debuted at the so-called Sundance Film Festival January 2015.
I know that, because I see on Twitter, I know that there are people who are just discovering that movie through various distributions. And I want to put out a plug for that, even though it's business, because if folks haven't seen that, if you are at all interested in comedy or funny people, essential viewing. So great. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a movie that's had more funny people in one movie as yours. So
it's an annoyingly talented list. Yes.
So you finish that and you're exhausted because I know what a long process that must be to make that, to make all of that work. And then do you take some time off or do you get immediately you're looking for something else to do?
You know, even after all these years, the sense of being a gypsy, there's no time off unless you're unemployed. So I went right
you
in.
You can't relax just for a couple of weeks without.
Really. Sure. You can. Yeah. At this point, life is relaxing.
Right.
You know, I've got it all kind of wired pretty well.
Right.
So, but the.
But
the,
always in the back of your mind is, I got to get whatever's next or.
Well, or no. First of all, as a writer, actor, now director, everything you do is about your next project. It's not even about the thing you're working on at the time.
Okay.
That's how wonderful show business is.
That's exhausting.
Well, it's either exhausting or unbelievably exciting and honestly keeps the energy in the step. I mean, it's a game. It's not necessarily a game of hustle as much as it is diversifying. You know, I started the mantra years ago for myself, if you're not creating, you're waiting. As artists, we're sort of taught to wait for the phone to ring. And it also works in life, by the way, to be just proactive. So I just, you know, I've been diversifying for a long, long time.
And did you write this show or any part of it?
The television show that I'm working on? No, actually, I was co-starring in a Bruce Willis or Ben Kingsley movie in Cleveland, Ohio.
Same.
Sure.
Are we playing Mad Libs right now, or is any of that true?
Feels like it.
Ben Kingsley in Cleveland. Okay.
Yeah. Shut down after a couple of weeks of work for insufficient funds, which I'd not heard of a movie at that level.
Wow.
That was a first.
So this is it. We're out of money. Stop.
Yeah. A. Scheister was somewhere in the team.
Wow.
So then the second phone call in this horrible situation was from my TV agent saying, there's a pilot that's been after you for a while, and I've been telling him you're in Cleveland, and they don't believe me.
Are you? Why would you be, right?
He would be there on purpose, right?
Are you actually coming home? So then, it's this show with Jane Lynch and Maggie Lawson and Kyle Bornheimer. But you know the Jane Lynch, you just attach yourself to that wagon and go.
Yeah.
She's
one of those names that you just go, okay, I hear her name and I'm going to at least seriously consider it.
100%. Yeah. And, you know, it's nice to be offered a TV pilot, but 80% of them fail. So I just said, I love her and...
It'd be fun to work with her.
Yeah, and I had known Maggie Lawson, the actress, one of the leads from the TV show Psych, who's extraordinary, and she'd been on my little chat show there, the script was hilarious, had a heart, which was very odd for a 22-minute show to have all of that, and a Beverly Hills dermatologist on the prowl as a character made me laugh.
Recently widowed.
A couple of years, just now getting back in the game. You've got to have that backstory to justify a guy of my age chasing skirt. You know? But it's a dysfunctional family. And then Jane Lynch's character, the angel in Angel from Hell, is either, you know, who she says she is, which is a guardian angel for reals.
Right.
Or a deadbeat. Who's a drunk, basically.
Yeah, that's the thing. You don't know whether she's
for a deadbeat, though.
Yeah.
She's an excellent scam artist, perhaps.
Yeah.
So you said 80% shows fail. The pilots fail.
Yeah, the system's designed to fail.
So the writing all comes through. Everybody greenlights it. Then it's okay. Then let's do a pilot. Then they get a cast and a director. Then they shoot it. And then 80% fail?
Yeah, it's a funny thing among the community of actors. When you get a pilot, you can't celebrate anything. You have to be very guarded with your emotions.
Because
do not get attached.
A pretty decent chance it's not going to make it no matter what.
A fantastic chance against you. So I was the one on the set during the shooting of the pilot saying, you know we're not going, right? We're not going to series.
Oh, it's great to have you around.
what a way to life.
You were popular.
Also, it's single camera. You know, I'd come from the multi-camera on the Chuck Lorre show, Mom, where I was on for the first couple seasons.
Uh-huh.
And now we follow Mom Thursday night, 9:30 on the CBS, which is kind of nice.
So you went from the great show that made it to the show that is going to be almost impossible to keep on the schedule.
Yeah. And she was killed on. I mean,
well,
really?
My character was technically killed.
Dead, sure.
So you got to move on.
Yeah,
you
understood.
I find it so smart and sort of a heads up move to get off the lot at Warner Brothers.
You
get
can't
in your
keep
car.
Showing up once you're dead.
That's right. People like you, but in fact, they had a show where I came back as kind of an apparition in Allison Janney's dream, one last extra episode. And that was even creepy enough.
Was it really?
It really was, because everyone was like, oh, man, you were so good on this. Yeah, thanks. You know, it's really a horrible exit. But that was a fun ride. But this show, much more collaborative, you know. That sitcom, you know, I've been a member of the Writers Guild since 1987 when I was like sixth lead on a six-person sitcom where I pitched the showrunner an idea for an episode. And he said, hey, that sounds great. Do you want to write it? Which had never crossed my mind. But kids out there, be prepared for that question.
Just say yes first and then.
Right? That's right. That's exactly
that
what I did.
Never, so you came up with the idea for that actual episode.
To just boost my character in the show.
And he said, write it, and you were like, what?
Yeah, no, I didn't say what. I was prepared. I said, yes, of course I'll write this, and then walked away and went, what am I? You know. but then not realizing that those shows are written by committee. You know, they rewrite within an inch of its life. So the premise of the show episode stayed the same, and I think two of my jokes in the entire script stayed the same, but I got the written by credit. So working in the sitcom, I would pitch jokes all the time, and none of them would get through because that's just the way that particular person worked, the showrunner. But this one, this guy, Tad Quayle, who has this great pedigree of writing in the half-hour comedy world, very open to collaboration. So, you know, you want a Jane Lynch to cut loose and when she has an idea to let...
Especially her.
Yeah. And me.
Why are there... And you, of course. Why are there people that are so set against that? Do it like it's on the page and do not even try anything else. Why? What's the downside of letting you guys try to riff and come up with some stuff?
That's an excellent question. I don't know that I can answer without naming.
I assume it takes time and money for some shows is why they don't want to do that, right?
That's a great notion.
Uh-huh.
It's more,
but that's not it.
It's more about ego.
It is.
100%. Sure. Did you see the Steve Jobs movie?
I didn't. That's one that
I missed. Okay, well, there's a great writing piece, you know, and wonderful actors doing those wonderful words from Aaron Sorkin.
Right. But Aaron Sorkin is sort of one of a kind.
He's kind of famous for his TV shows of Don't Change a Syllable. There are guys that are just like that. You know, that's how they work.
But I feel like he deserves it.
Sure.
And there are a lot of people that do it that don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Just because they're the boss, that's why.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think also Chuck Lorre, the guy who... was the head of the Mom, is the head of the Mom television show, had more than proved himself with 2.5 Men.
Sure.
Right.
Big Bang Theory and Mike and Molly and so on.
So Kevin Pollak in studio with us right now, by the way. Among other things, we're talking about his new TV show called Angel from Hell. If you missed that part, it premieres this Thursday night at 9:30 after Mom on CBS, co-starring the great Jane Lynch, by the way, the lovely Maggie Lawson. It's a great cast. Funny premise, too. The toughest thing in the world now is to put a new show on someone's radar, to get them to make room for it in their DVR, because it's almost impossible. We are drowning in great content, and I'm sure you've got the same problem. You go home and you got Hulu and you got Amazon, you got Netflix, you got all the networks and all the channels and everything else. Like, how do you break through and get people to try something new in 2016?
I don't know, and now I'm the same guy with the cast saying, we're not going to go. It's just you can't find an audience. No, you know, listen, Jane Lynch is hosting the People's Choice Awards the night before on CBS, where the cast is doing a little bit with her in the show. Maybe that will help. You know, we're all out there doing the talk shows and stuff. But you're right, finding a foothold for a new show. But fortunately, the people who run the damn networks also know this, and the expectation level is pretty low in terms of what number you're actually going to snag.
It's low on the average or because of this particular show?
It's low. The expectations are low because you're brand new.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, right. They give you time. They're going to give you some time to grow if they believe it.
I don't feel like they do it in general. I don't feel like they give people much time at all.
Most of the networks have lost the patience
yeah.
game. CBS seems to be the last remaining one that'll actually give you a shot. And again, it's about doing a really good show that everyone really likes. And then right. they'll give you a chance to. They only picked up two shows this year in the comedy world. The other one was Life in Pieces.
Mm-hmm. Which is really good, by
fantastic
the way.
Show.
Really good show.
But came out of the gate with not so great numbers. But everyone really liked the show. So they said, let's see this thing grow up. And
oh, that's
see,
awesome.
See what happens. So we're hoping for that.
Learning a little something about TV with our friend Kevin Pollak here on The Kevin Beach Show. Quick break. We'll be right back after this on K-Rock. I got some bad news for our guest, Kevin Pollak, in studio. He's not going to want to hear this.
Oh, all right. Hmm.
But it's now raining outside, so you're not going to be able to leave, I'm sorry to say, because, well, it's not fit for man or beast out there if you watch the news in L.A. I mean, how are you going to get home? You can't survive this.
Is the Godzilla of El Niño's finally here?
Yes!
Oh, my God! It's raining!
We've had the news on all day today, and they're just doing nothing on Channel 2 but throwing it to reporter after reporter standing on completely dry streets talking about, it's going to rain later.
That's
look
our favorite.
Out. No, a place right like this later is going to be wet.
I love that.
Well, it is raining indeed, and you know what I did to prepare? Went ahead and grabbed the umbrella.
What?
Yeah, whoa. Yeah. And by the way, pain in the ass. Yeah. Unbelievable so getting it out of the car so with that damn thing. And I've got an automatic collapser. Still a pain in the ass. Don't care for it.
The rest of us have to wait until the news anchors tell us to bring that. So
I'm here to let
you're
you.
A thinker.
I'm here to let you know, folks.
You're on the front.
Grab that umbrella.
The best part is going to be this afternoon, though, when they literally will spend minutes. Allie, you know, you worked in news mm-hmm. for how long? 20 years. They will spend minutes of every newscast interviewing people on the street about what they think about the rain and how they stayed dry.
It's
I love
team
that.
Team coverage, Bean. It's Stormwatch 2016. This is serious.
Yeah.
I don't find it funny that you're joking.
We do find it funny, though, that they an interview can come to absolutely nothing, but mm-hmm. they will air it.
Oh,
if
yeah.
they do an interview, yep. they will put it on the news.
Yeah. That sort of dedication.
Of how worthless it is.
And that slow pan up to the streetlight where you see a little bit of trickle, that's my favorite.
Just to prove it.
Oh, so artsy.
All right. I want to talk movies with Kevin Pollak. You're a guy who's been in a bunch of them, and you are an unabashed movie fan. I know that you talk about it a lot in your podcast. You interview so many great writers and actors, and you love going to the movies. Why is 70mm your thing?
I have been in a couple of movies. You're not wrong. I don't know the exact number, 76. But I will say the going to see Tarantino's new movie in the 70mm was spectacular.
Because he's big on, I wish people could only see my movie in that format. I mean, that's how
yeah.
dedicated he is to it. Of course, that's not possible technologically anymore.
Yeah.
But it makes that much of a difference for you?
One of my least favorite things is listening to people weigh in with what's wrong with a movie like that. You know, the critiques. The truth is,
it's a little slow.
We should.
I mean, it's a little slow.
At times, it's purposely slow. It's designed that way.
Oh.
But my feeling is, it's Quentin Tarantino. We should really encourage him to do his thing as often as possible. And there'll be parts about it that we are annoyed by, and there'll be parts of it that is the most exhilarating thing in the theater, going to the movies that you. So here's a guy who's created a new sensation to a lot of people that was around 60 years ago, or 50 years ago was the last time they did one of these big roadshow type of things with the overture and the intermission and a program. By the way, grabbed five of them. Don't know why.
Program.
Don't know why I grabbed five.
At the I don't either.
Because you have eBay in your sights for when the acting slows down.
Are you a hoarder?
No, I found that on the way out, a friend would say, oh, you should have grabbed me a pro. Because
okay.
What happens is they hand one out to everyone at the beginning. It's got photos and some descriptions about what happened and then the making of. And then people leave them at their seats and they leave. And I, as I'm walking out, there's like 100 on the floor. And I thought, grab a couple of these.
Are
for
you
some
crawling
friends.
Around the floor of the theater trying to grab
well,
some
by that, I mean my manservant was forced down onto the ground.
And look, leftover popcorn.
Well,
I got to tell you, when they said before the movie that there's going to be a handout, or whatever, at the end, I was like, that's stupid. Why would I want that? And then as I walked out, I wanted it badly.
Sure.
Really
and now it.
It
has a prominent place on a pile of crap in your office.
Correct.
That's
yes.
right.
Yeah.
So that experience of going to the 70mm, I have encouraged all my friends and everyone I know and now your listeners to try to experience it if they can.
All right. What about 3D? Because there are lots of people who hate it, and there are people who swear by it and wish everything was in it. Where do you come down on that?
I'm a little bit of it changes the light I directed another movie. You were kind enough to mention the debut there, the documentary. I directed a little indie comedy. We blocked picture, and we're doing color correcting. And
is this the late bloomer?
It is the late bloomer.
That looks so good.
Yeah, thanks. J.K. Simmons, the wonderful Jane Lynch, Maria Bello, Johnny Simmons, Brittany Snow, Kumail Nanjiani, Beck Bennett, a lot of great people.
Jeez.
But we're doing the color correcting. We're doing the post-production right now. We're last 3 weeks of mixing. And you see where all those differences are of just lighting. You know, you light when you're shooting, but then when you get into the editing and you get into the post-production, you can adjust those things. So what happens with 3D, my biggest problem is it readjusts the lighting yet again to the negative. It creates more shadows around the edges. And it's all a sort of false sense of reality, which some people really, really love.
I'm so glad I don't know any of that. Because I really love 3D.
But you know, Kevin, when you go to a 3D movie, how dark it is compared to 2D movies.
That's
right?
What I mean. That's what I mean.
You can see that difference.
It's darker. Oh,
Kevin,
you're talking about
that. Do you notice that?
Love it.
Have
I noticed that it's darker? No, not at all.
No, and also anything darker, I think, Kevin, you would like.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, just checking. So I did see the Star Wars the first time out in the XD, which came with 3D, one of the giant screens here in the Playa del Rey. They had one of the great Cinemark XD screens with 260 speakers. It's just big and beautiful, the kind of thing you want to see Star Wars in. But it was 3D, and we just went with it. And having one of the battle cruisers or whatever, sort of the nose of it parked next to my face at one point was kind of cool. And that didn't really bother me because it's all moving so quickly that it was in 3D. But I tend to avoid it. And also,
I feel like some people get tired of it throughout the movie. Like, at first it's okay, but then it starts getting annoying.
And they're never quite clean enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Bless the staff that are doing their best to spray them and wipe them. And I don't mean cleanliness and catching disease, I mean I can't see through them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which goes along with cleanliness and disease, by the way. All of it's on there.
Yeah.
I can't see through them.
Yeah. Speaking of late bloomer, and I know it doesn't come out for quite a while now, but this is, if the story is true, the Hollywood legend is true, they wanted you to act in this movie?
Well, my agent had submitted me to play the father, who I then later got J.K. Simmons to play. You're welcome.
Oh, that's an upgrade.
You're welcome. Yeah, that's what I kept telling the producer. So they wanted me for the father, and then they said, but we like Kevin so much, but we need a director, and we hear his documentary did well at Sundance. This is the hype and illusion of show business.
All right.
Right? They hadn't seen the documentary. They just heard great things.
Ooh.
So they said, would he read the script and tell us how he would do it? And I read it, and it's based on a true story about a guy who didn't go through puberty till age 30.
How about that?
Yeah, yeah. Fully realized adult, PhD, all that. But his body had never been through puberty. And then we find out there's a medical reason, which is fixed. And when it is, he goes through puberty in about 2 weeks.
He has all the awkward
30.
Hormones
yes.
at 30. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
So exactly. So I just went in and said, well, you've got the great comedy hijinks of what happens when that happens in the second act, but how about in the first act if we care about these people for a second?
Like instead maybe that would help?
Yeah, instead of surrounding the lead character with douches and whores. So I went
not
in and
bad-mouth douches and whores, if you don't mind.
No, but it is one of my favorite photo bombs at airports to get them in the background where I pretend I'm taking a selfie and they're over my shoulder. If you're out there, check it out. Folks, it's awfully fun to do the douches and horse selfie photobomb. So anyways, I rewrote within an inch of its life, and so that process, it is pretty hands on. So all the way through the process, you want to remain hands on, and then you get a great cast and you get lucky. And
I find it weird that they didn't see something in your first movie that they liked to think that you could direct, just they heard about it.
Well, they hadn't seen it yet. That wasn't that they were boycotting it.
No, I didn't mean it that way, but I meant it's weird that they would take that stance of, hey, you should direct our film.
Right.
That's why hype is awesome.
They haven't seen it.
The hype and illusion of show business is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It truly is. It works for you and against you, depending on what
Do you envision a time, Kevin, could you be happy in not being on camera anymore and being a behind-the-scenes writer-director kind of guy?
I got kind of hooked pretty fast.
A lot of actors say that as, like, what I really want to do is direct.
Well, you know? It wasn't. And I had opportunities over the years and didn't want to do it. Not only is it time-consuming and I'm lazy, but, you know, you have to you get asked 150 questions every day. by various department heads, costume, set design, what have you. I've had a lot of filmmakers on the chat show that you mentioned, and the question kept coming up, what are the things to look out for as I was gearing up to direct this movie? And they kept saying, just have an answer for everything. When the costumer comes up with two jackets saying, which one do you want for the character? If you don't have an opinion, still pick.
Just say left.
Your instinct may be, well, what do you think? You're the department head.
Right.
You've actually trained in wardrobe and costuming. I only have an opinion.
And don't do that?
I'd rather go to the expert and then, no, have an opinion.
That's weird.
And have a strong one.
Because that way it also doesn't get pushed off to another day where you have to revisit it again. It's handled.
But it's also a little bit of the Captain Queeg. You don't want a mutiny. You want to constantly be driving the team down the field. And everyone sort of looks to you for leadership and everything. So my sense was, if you're that person who wants that control and needs that control and needs to have the most important opinion on the set every right. single day, then you should direct a film. So oddly, as exciting as that might sound to a narcissist like me, once I got into that saddle, it was, I don't like all of this.
Yeah.
So I started getting comfortable enough with department heads to say, to bring them into the fold after.
So you're a benevolent dictator.
I was indeed a benevolent dictator.
That's,
yeah.
that's the way to go,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
that's
but also I found what happens is it not only forces you to have an opinion about every single damn thing, you start to feel like my entire career of learning comedy and timing and what I like in movies and what annoys me in movies, I could suddenly change those chess pieces on the board. And then that wasn't necessarily a control issue as much as it was, oh, my instincts do matter this time. Mm-hmm. I don't have someone saying, we're going to do this without you kind of thing.
Well, that's super interesting. Thank you for sharing that. I'm
sure.
excited about Late Bloomer later in the year. And this Thursday night on CBS After Mom, please check out. That's all Mr. Pollock is asking. Is just check it out for the first time, right? If you don't like it, don't watch it. But if he thinks you will.
I'm not sure he's saying
you
that.
Did you say that's accurate?
I am saying
give
that.
Give it a chance.
But,
okay.
But I would add to that, if you like it, tell everyone you've ever met in your entire life.
Right. Great concept. Jane Lynch is a guardian angel or isn't. I guess we'll have to decide. Angel from Hell this Thursday night at CBS 9:30. Kevin, great to see you again, my friend. Thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
I'm just saying the dog is ugly.
It's not a good looking dog. That's what just, you mean.
Are we judging it on just being attractive? Then it's not. It is not attractive. Other than that, it's a cool dog.
Yeah, then we got Christine in the other room going, more cute than not cute, Dave. People on the internet are voting. Thanks, Hello Kitty. We need your input.
Hey, it's Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's not just any Tuesday. It's the Tuesday after the first Bachelor, ladies
right?
and gentlemen. The last night at ABC. That means the Bachelor Report with our friend Petros Papadakis and Ralph Garman is coming up just after 8. I just have to ask one question right now, Ralph.
Mm.
Chris Harrison, the host, says that this is the most dramatic season in Bachelor history.
Wow. Let
is
me tell
it really?
You something.
That's something.
My boy, C.H., he is always right.
Uh-huh.
And I think in this particular case, he may be especially right.
The most dramatic season in Bachelor history.
Yes.
What did it or did it not involve a mini horse last night?
It did.
Okay. All
and
right.
If you watch the coming attractions, they always do at the end of the first episode, coming up this season on The Bachelor. And they'll show you like a clip montage of everything going. One girl gets punched right in the face.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And she's going. She's being interviewed with like a giant shiner.
Wow, you don't see that every season.
Right?
That's awesome.
That's dramatic.
All right, we will hear all the dirty details coming up just after 8. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
We live in an era. First, let me say, folks have been asking, what happened to you and Kevin Smith? Are you still doing that show anymore, that Hollywood Babylon? Yes, we took some time off because of the holidays. But we are back this weekend. I want to give people a heads up. You can go to improv.com this Saturday night. Hollywood Babylon returns to the stage at the Improv on Melrose. It is a rare Saturday night show this Saturday, the 9th, I believe it is. You can come out and see me and Kevin Smith doing our Hollywood Babylon.
That's the last
show.
One of all time.
No, it's the first one of 2016.
Really,
the first one
make
of
sure and see this
yeah.
one.
The first one of
2016. It's a swan song. Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about. A lot has gone on over the holidays. So come on out and join us. Go to improv.com to get your tickets.
It sounds incredibly not fun.
But I do want to talk about the fact that a lot of people are saying in 2016, it's time for you to cut the cable. It's time for you to get to unplug because everything you want to see on television is available now on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. You no longer need the networks. Pshaw, I say, to the networks. I would say that would be ill-advised.
Okay.
Because they've just released, a Variety newspaper has just released their list of the most anticipated TV series of 2016. I'm telling you something, you read this list of names, you're like, yes, 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 no, yes, yes, maybe, yes, yes, yes. More yeses than nots. So here's their top, I'll give you the top 10 or so, but they're saying these are the things that people are most excited about watching. And I agree almost wholeheartedly. Number one, American Crime, season 2.
Oh,
have you
wait.
Seen the commercials for
yep.
this?
I haven't. No.
I have rarely seen more compelling advertising for a TV show in a long
yeah.
time.
Yeah, Wednesday, 10 o'clock, DVR set. Do it.
Looks amazing. Regina King, one of our faves, returns. I mean, most of the original cast from the first season returns, but much like American Horror Story, it's a brand new story using the same company of actors, which I find entertaining and fascinating. So that is on everybody's must-watch list. This Shades of Blue with Jennifer Lopez on television and Ray Liotta.
I'm a big no on that.
Really?
I know you are. I'm a big yes on
I'm
that.
I'm a big yes on that, too.
That looks good.
I love
Jennifer
cop
Lopez,
shows. I love Riota, and I love Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez as a New York City police officer on the street is the most unbelievable casting. I don't think she's a good enough actress for me to believe her. I just don't.
You're a horrible human being.
You're a terrible person.
Let me know.
Shadowhunters over on Freeform. Shadowhunters. Dave was just talking about Shadowhunters
Dave
yesterday.
Dave loves it.
Oh, Freeform. Oh, can't wait for that.
I love Freeform.
What's Shadowhunters, Ralph?
It is the Moral Instruments book series.
All right.
It's on ABC Family, now known as Freeform.
Okay.
Teachers, the new Alison Brie produced TV series on TV Land. People want to see that. Billions is happening on Showtime. This looks amazing.
That does look good.
Damian Lewis and Paul Giamatti. Come on. Right?
Yes.
Bean's writing these down as we speak.
He's typing them in.
Typing
yeah.
all these into his DVR as we speak. Madoff, the miniseries on ABC starring Richard Dreyfuss as Bernie Madoff. They're saying that you have to see. Vinyl on HBO. Mm-hmm. Martin Scorsese, Mick Jagger produced series about the music industry in the 1970s.
Yep.
Looks good.
Boy, did I miss out on a time, apparently. That would have been my era
that
right
was
there.
The time, yeah.
Just, here's a record and a kilo of blow. Just put us on the radio. If I had this job then, I would be so happy.
You'd be dead.
No, I would not, sir. But yes, here you go. Here's your record on the radio. More blow, please. Just a ton of great. I mean, too many to go through here, but everyone is saying Westworld on HBO. They're saying it's going to be fantastic. It's just a ton of TV network and cable series. They're saying everyone's going to want to watch this year. So it's an exciting time in television.
Golden age, you guys.
Golden age.
Ralph, have you started?
How about that the OJ? People again. People versus.
Oh,
OJ.
I want to see that too.
Right.
Oh,
that's good.
Yeah.
Good
have stuff. You started Making a Murderer yet, Ralph?
Have I made a murder yet? No.
Have you started Making a Murder, the Netflix series?
No, I have not.
Allie's already
to that.
Been through it. Kevin and I just started
not
it.
Not gotten around to that yet.
It's all anyone's talking about.
I know. It's buzzy.
Yeah.
Which always scares me. I'm scared of the buzz.
Yeah. But sometimes the buzz is
warranted.
I can see
it. Everybody's doing something.
Well, I can see that.
Like that freaking, to Catch a Murderer podcast thing. What the hell was that called?
Serial?
Serial.
Serial was great.
Oh,
it
God.
Was fantastic.
See, that's what everybody was saying. All those people
were
saying
that.
True. And I finally got around to listening to it. And I was through the first one. I was like, this woman, her voice is going to kill me.
Well, that's, she's very NPR-y.
Oh, no. You think?
You think?
And so.
That's not good.
I was wondering if I talked to Billy on the telephone, whether he would. I really can't. I get a cup of coffee, something, a Red Bull. You know people are listening to you, right? You're not in a phone booth.
You know what NPR is, man. Nothing gets above a whisper on that channel. You know that.
All right, let me.
Well,
talk
check
about
out the Making a Murderer. I think
you check
really
it out.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Great.
Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Duvall is 85 years old today. We do it NPR style. TV host Charlie Rose, he celebrates his 74th birthday today. Diane Keaton. Wow, she's a talented lady.
Don't
she's
feel like you have to keep
70 years doing old that. Today. Bradley Cooper's 41. Marilyn Manson's 47. January Jones, 38. Oscar Isaac. Poe Dameron himself, 36 years old. I think there's a little love connection between Poe and Finn. I think there's a little...
Definitely a romance.
Just bros.
A little crossing lightsabers in the back
no,
of the...
No, listen, I'm not against
that.
It, but...
In the back of the X-Wing fighter.
So.
Huh? There's a... Somebody's enjoying somebody's sarlacc pit.
I think it looks platonic
relationship.
To me.
I don't know. There's a lot of hugging. A lot of hugging going on. A lot of bros. A lot of bro bumping.
for guys who had met each other one time for 20 minutes, that was a pretty pretty big embrace when they found each other again in the desert.
That's what I'm saying. And by desert, you mean...
That doesn't make any sense.
Right?
Sure.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It is finally here. It's Bachelor time. Hit it, Steve.
It's time. We got the Big P and Gar, man. And they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking, hallelujah.
Woo-hoo.
Girls crying, hallelujah.
Woo-hoo.
Girls crazy, hallelujah.
Woo-hoo.
The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you. The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you. The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
Yeah. I believe I read it was the 20th season of the Bachelor franchise last night, Ralph. I believe I read that that was the deal.
It's raining, Ben. Hallelujah.
That is their slogan for real.
It's raining, Ben.
I heard you say that. I thought that was a funny joke.
Nope.
Then I saw the trailer. And they're using that song.
Let's welcome your co-host for the Bachelor Report all season long, our good friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money Radio Show on AM 570. Hey, P.
Barely going to make it, guys. Barely going to struggle through this year.
Come on, P. I thought after watching last night you would have renewed enthusiasm.
Yeah, because I need this guy shooting baskets against a barn in Indiana and, and for him to say, yes, I need another shot. At love. I mean, it's just, it's so, I mean, there was a girl that got introduced. She hiked a football to the guy.
Yep.
He caught it, and she turned around and said, I knew you were a cat.
That's right.
I can't take it. I mean,
wow.
I mean, these things are, they punch me in the face. They're like fists to my face, and there was like 80 of them.
There were lots of puns last night, that's for sure.
I need to start watching this show.
How about
the
girl? You would have loved it.
How about the girl came out with the rose hat on saying, I'm the first impression rose?
Yeah, I embody the first impression rose. I picked it out of my garden. It's a giant paper mache flaming tongue on her head.
What about the nutritionist who said we should break bread together, and then she took out loaves of bread and started to break them on the sidewalk because she hates gluten?
I thought that was because she said gluten is Satan. And I thought that was the one that worked the least. What about the girl that rolled up on the
hoverboard?
Yeah, whatever those stupid things that burst into flame and burn people's undercarriages.
She said, "I'm on cloud nine. Come join me."
Man. Are you guys just glossing over the woman in the PJs?
The girl in the onesie.
Girl showed up in a onesie.
Who said, "You're the onesie for me"?
You're the onesie for me.
Wow.
Real.
Well, you're the onesie for me.
There's like 35 girls or something, and I guess they're just trying to differentiate. First impression is important, right? They're trying to make Ben at least remember them from when they meet coming out of the limo.
You don't want to remember somebody for how much they suck, though.
How much you hate them.
Are all of these...
girl in the unicorn mask.
Oh, yeah, there's a girl that came out with a unicorn horse head.
Yes.
She took it off and she wasn't that hot.
No, she should have been hotter.
Are all of the introductions sort of this, and I'm saying this on purpose, punny? Do they try to throw that stuff in?
It's gotten increasingly more punny as the seasons have gone on. It used to be like one person a season would pull some lame stunt.
I hate puns.
There's a lady that brought a mini horse.
A woman did walk up with a miniature horse, Kevin, if that means anything.
What the hell is going on?
She's a cowgirl, see? And that was her pet. But I think the biggest impression on me, P, maybe she made an impression on you too, was Tierra. Tierra.
The chicken lady.
Was the chicken lady. Tierra didn't have any relationships with other people, Kevin.
Okay.
Because she is a chicken lady. She loves chickens. And it dawned on me as I was watching Tierra that this is the perfect woman for Bean. We have to match her up with Bean.
You notice she does live in Seattle, by the way.
She lives in Seattle.
We could hook them up through farmersonly.com.
Right?
Which Bean is on.
She uses the phrase chicken enthusiast. Who says they're an enthusiast about anything other than Bean? And she has no human relations. She only relates to her animals.
Wow.
Here's a little clip of Tierra's appearance last night.
My name is Tierra. I'm 27, and I'm a chicken enthusiast.
I love you so much.
My chickens are like my babies. Since I don't have human babies, these are my human babies. I have one special chicken. Her name is Sheila. She stays in my room with me. She does everything with me. This is Sheila. This is my one true love.
I wonder why she doesn't have a man if she sleeps with a chicken.
How many people can you throw off the first show?
Six.
I don't even know what happened to Tiara at the end of the show. I don't remember her being involved at all other than just being the chicken lady.
She got the boot, P. She did not receive a rose.
Yes. she didn't even get like a walk of shame or anything
with
the chicken.
They didn't even visit with her at the end.
I thought they always do that.
No, they pick out a
hand. I think we should just start living our lives like a children's book to where, you know, if you're a cowgirl, you got to walk around with a horse. I think Ralph should have to walk around like holding a big old-timey microphone everywhere he goes so everybody knows he's in radio. That I should wear a football helmet.
I like it. Then we met Lace. Lace is a piece of work. She is good. She's obviously going to be the villain of the season.
You think she's hot?
In a sort of a Parker Posey, Sarah Silverman kind of way, yeah.
Why are the hot, angry chicks on The Bachelor always got no upper lip?
That's true. They do lack upper lips and usually big teeth that bite. Lace was there, and as everyone walked through the room, Lace deemed herself the prettiest one in the room. Every time they came in.
She said that to herself.
Yeah, she said, I'm looking around, I got no competition. Here's a little Lace talking about Lace.
I don't think there's one girl so far that's competition. I think that I'm way prettier than everyone.
You know.
Is she wasted, or is that?
She got loaded.
All right.
Oh.
White wine loaded with no upper lip. it's a terrible look. But you know what we also forgot?
Who's that, P?
The Coors Light twins.
All right, the twins from Vegas.
Twins.
With twins.
They got twins. And twins. There's twins that are dating him this year.
And the twins thought they had a shot because they said everyone wants to date twins. That's every man's fantasy.
I had to go out with two chicks that look exactly the same.
But I had to turn to my wife and correct them by saying no one wants to date twins. They only want to bone twins.
Yeah.
It's a very different fantasy. Time. Yes, exactly. The twins.
And that's not the deal here with the twins.
No, they're on separate journeys for love, which I think is going to cause nothing but heartache.
What
for
if they both
involved.
Fall for him and then they have to fight?
That's what happens.
Well,
apparently,
they're okay with it, so he should be okay with it. What I feel coming is a 2-on-1 date where he's got to keep one and send one home on that date.
That would be brilliant.
How can you not be?
Oh, come on, guys! You can smell it from freaking a mile away.
How can that not excite you, P?
Nothing excites me anymore.
Pete, come on. Why did you lose your will to live?
How about Mandy, the dentist from Portland?
Oh, la dentista with a crooked nose.
Yes. She was the one with the weird rose hat who came out saying, I am the rose.
Yeah, and quit talking about everybody's teeth. Fix your nose, you freaking. You could cut a turkey with it.
He has a lot of face issues.
You
could
cut a turkey with it.
That could come in handy.
Well, on their first time together in the house during
one
the cocktail party.
One of their nostrils isn't even open. One of the nostrils is like totally closed.
During the cocktail party, Mandy cornered Ben, our bachelor, and decided that she had to give him an oral exam.
Oh.
And I don't mean ask him questions about himself. I mean, she brought out her equipment. And by equipment, I don't mean her vagina.
Mm-hmm.
I mean her pick and her mirror.
Okay.
Here we go.
So you're from Portland?
I'm from Portland. I'm a dentist. Do you floss?
I do.
You better floss.
Does it look like I do?
God. If we're going to make out,
you
have to floss. Like anything in life, I came prepared for this moment. You're going to open up. Let's see.
She lays him back. Lays him back with a bib on and starts to go through his teeth with a pick and a mirror.
A dental exam within 5 minutes of meeting the guy.
Yes.
Well, at least she's not a proctologist. So.
That could have been worse.
A little too much laughing there, P.
No, I just thought about him, you know, bending over.
Yeah, no, we get it.
We understand how proctology works.
With the light on her head.
Right, we get it.
We understand.
We understand.
We understand. Then the rose ceremony came along.
River.
Yeah, wait, exactly. Using a whole hand there, Doc. Then we got to the rose ceremony, and everybody wants to be with Ben. They believe he's the most handsome, the nicest, the sweetest, the most kind man they've ever met. And Samantha, who also got a rose, she was lucky. She just wanted more than anything to hear him say her name.
I want him to call my name. I don't care if it's Sam, Samantha, like, he can say it in Spanish. As long as he says my name, that's all that I care about.
Yeah. Samantha doesn't realize that her name would still be said the same by a person from Spain as it would in America because it's her name. They wouldn't change it.
You know, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she still got a rose. You know, I couldn't believe he sent home that sultry, milky-skinned redhead.
Right? Red velvet.
She was hot.
I loved red velvet.
She was like, you know, some people just aren't into redheads. And she's right. Maybe he wasn't into the gingers.
But she was hot.
I couldn't believe he kept the freaking crook-nosed dentist and not the girl that was hot, the redhead, Red Velvet.
You know who else was hot was Lauren R. There were four Laurens on the show last night, so that got a little confusing.
Oh, only four.
But Lauren R. had that sort of Penelope Cruz sort of sultry, full-lipped, blue-eyed look to her. She was a stunner.
All right.
Got kicked to the curb.
What?
But you know who he kept around?
She had that thing where you try to make lips out of lipstick. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Where you don't really have lips, but you try to create them with the lipstick and just like paint your face like a clown.
Right. Mm-hmm. But hers were real.
That's why she went home.
They were real lips. But he did keep the crazy dentist. She got a rose.
Wow.
Inexplicably. Shoshana, who is Russian, by the way, who as far as I could tell last night, speaks only Russian. Spoke to him the entire time in Russian.
Only
was
Russian.
Was that Russian? I thought it was Portuguese.
No, it was Russian.
Oh, that makes so much more sense now.
Didn't say a word of English to him. She got a rose. And Lace, the evil Lace with no upper lip.
Oh, my God.
With a white wine load on, got a rose.
And
wow.
She threw a fit after getting a rose.
Here's the thing. She got the rose, the last rose of the evening, and was incensed that he would dare to wait to give her the last rose of the night.
He was angry about that.
Furious.
I love it.
Cornered him after the rose ceremony and just dressed him down.
I just hope that this is the right thing for me. I just feel like you didn't even look me in my one time and I was like, I'm the last one to get called. I get that. That happens. But it almost makes me question.
If
you want me to go home, I'd rather just go home.
I gave you a rose and I just got done telling somebody else that like I wanted him to go home.
Would you rather them stay?
No, I asked them to go home because of that.
I get that, but it's...
I want to be clear, like, the issue was that I didn't make eye contact during the rose ceremony with you.
You didn't look at me once.
Okay.
You would not look at me. I watched you.
It wasn't on purpose for me not looking at you.
No.
If you look around, like, there's some wonderful people in there, and you're one of them. And I asked you to stay because of that.
Lace tells me that I didn't make eye contact with her during the rose ceremony. I gave her a rose, like, ugh.
Ah.
Whoa.
He kept her, and she's unhappy about the order that she was kept. This is night one, by the way. They've just met.
Can he take that rose back physically from
He's
her?
He's already regretting it, I'll tell you that.
Same episode?
Can you imagine? That's the first night you meet somebody,
and that's
what you're getting from
her. I thought he was going to take it back. I mean, if I've ever seen a red flag, I mean, she was dressed like a red flag without it. But
now, Pete, can we count on you next week for the Bachelor Report?
You know you can.
Okay. Okay.
But I may be in an iron lung by the time this whole thing. This one is painful because if this guy, somebody sent me a text and it's very accurate. If this guy, Ben, was one of the flavors of 31 flavors, he would be the water they use to rinse off the super.
Oh, come on. It's raining, Ben.
It is raining, Ben. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
Phony priest.
Is it sweeps already?
Is someone pretending to be a priest? And then to what end? For what? To
well, maybe
kids?
You need to watch the news tonight on Channel 11, Bean.
Oh, I got to watch that. That sounds awesome. Hey, you guys. Star Wars is a thing, right?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert, because I think we may hit a couple of plot points here. We were on vacation, mercifully for you, when the Star Wars movie came out just before Christmas. So we really haven't had much of a chance to discuss it here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But everybody saw it, all of us saw it over the holidays, and all of us, am I exaggerating if I say loved it?
Loved it.
Loved it.
Loved it. Loved it. Loved the movie.
Loved it.
We loved it. Having said that, there are two things happening that are a disturbance in the force right now. One is there's a backlash against how popular Star Wars is. There are people now bagging on Star Wars because everybody loves it. And I got no time for those people. Then there's the other thing that is maybe a more considered opinion, which is some people are saying, hey, you know what? Star Wars was really good, but... ..
Yeah.
Now, for some, that's going to just be, hey, why are you picking on the movie? It was great. But for others, they're thinking, you know what? You make some pretty reasonable points. And that's what we want to talk about is I liked Star Wars a lot, except
dot, dot, dot. Ralph, we're going to give you the floor first because I know you had some disappointments along with your joy when you walked out of the theater.
Look, you can't deny it's a great time at the movie theater, and that's hard to come by. So you have to give it credit for that.
Plus, it's such a great feeling to be back in that world.
Yes, mm-hmm. And they have replicated that world so thoroughly and vividly and with such joy, and it really was a great time. However, the strength may have been its weakness also, in my opinion,
okay,
is that they replicated that world so well that I felt they revisited almost to a fault some plot lines and character relationships that made it feel a little bit too familiar to me. I would have enjoyed a little bit more venturing into a new story and a new world told in the Star Wars style.
This is too much like A New Hope?
It's very much like the first film, yeah. A New Hope.
New characters were basically playing the same roles that the older characters played in the first movie.
Right. You have the innocent, desert planet-dwelling person who does not know what their future holds for them. You have the Luke Skywalker character that is embodied by Daisy Ridley, who I thought was brilliant and
agreed.
Beautiful, and you fall in love with her. I would have liked to have seen them use her perhaps in another way. You've got the Poe Dameron character, who's sort of like a rakish Han Solo pilot type. But I loved the characters. I loved the Kylo Ren, the new bad guy. But there were so much familiar aspects to what you saw them do. You had a cute little droid that has an important piece of information that's important to the rebellion regarding a large, dangerous space station.
Right, but we're talking about the new one.
No, I'm talking about the new one. That's the problem. And then the sand-dwelling innocent gets recruited into the rebellion unexpectedly, and they have to go find a Jedi Master who is a mysterious recluse, and they also have to blow up this giant, dangerous space station that's got me. As I was watching, I was like, holy crap, they are almost wholesale stealing the storyline from the first one.
Let me ask you this question. Did they have to do that to restart this thing and get everybody back on board and all that kind of, did they sort of have to do that?
I think with the original cast back in the film, they didn't have to do that. Okay. I think enough people would come back to see those characters reprise their roles in a new adventure. You already had the old cast. You didn't really need to revisit the old story.
Right, yeah.
That's just my take.
We got an email just because we tipped off yesterday we were going to be discussing this on today's Kevin and Bean Show from Brian, who writes in, who says, I like the Star Wars movie, but it didn't take any chances or try anything new. The Star Wars universe is massive and expansive, so why do they have to tell us the same story over and over again? Nobody wants to see Peter Parker become Spider-Man over and over again. They want to see new stories with the awesome characters you love, and I wish Star Wars had done that. Oh, well, it still took my money. Kind of what you're saying, which is, been there, done that. Right,
yeah, but I wasn't disappointed enough for it to affect my enjoyment of the film. I had a good time.
Same. I saw it twice, even though I had one tiny complaint.
But I was like,
what's your complaint, Monkey?
Well, do we have time?
Yeah.
Kylo Ren.
Again, spoiler alert for folks who haven't seen the movie.
Sort of a weak bad guy.
I loved that fact he wasn't the Darth Vader kind of bad guy, which was stoic and just
and
robotic
great and strong and scary.
This guy was scary and great and strong, but he was also emotional and unhinged and violent temper outbursts. I thought that was most refreshing change in the new film.
Why did the character of Rey, why was she able to fight him with lightsabers like she'd been training her whole life?
How do you know she hasn't? She's force sensitive, obviously.
Well, the force is strong
but
with
we're
her.
We're also
yes,
going to.
It was with Luke, too, but they talked for two movies about him making sure he didn't leave his training because he doesn't want to face Darth Vader before. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of.
Kylo Ren is not a Vader caliber mm-hmm. Sith Lord.
No, he's not.
Not at all. In fact, the big bad in it, the Emperor character, that's also was very
Snoke.
Familiar.
Snape.
Snoke.
Yeah.
Snoke.
Snoke. Snoke.
I thought it was Snape, okay.
Snoke. No, that's Harry Potter.
But okay.
Snoke says, now it is time for him to resume his training. So you know that Kylo Ren is not up to Darth Vader standards either. They're both sort of at the beginning stages of their Jedi Force-ness.
And Kevin, yesterday you were complaining or not complaining about his hair?
Well, he does take off the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got salon-quality hair. It's beautiful.
The Force is strong with
his beautiful,
hair.
It's beautiful, flowing, not even hat hair. He wasn't even wearing a hat. He was wearing a full
Force
helmet.
Keeps his hair together.
Wow, that was amazing hair.
The Force flows through all things, Kevin, including his hair.
All right.
See, I think a lot of it, too, is they're building up for the next one.
I'm looking forward to the next film even more so.
Even more so because we're wondering, well, Rey, who are you? Are you a Skywalker? Are you related to Obi-Wan Kenobi?
No, I got
what
all
is
that.
It? Like, I am
but
now
the plot
looking
of this film. Was
oh, it's it
very
is very
familiar.
Star Wars. We get it, but
right.
For me, I wanted to see some old friends, and I wanted to make some new ones, and I did.
You have
and
no friends,
I,
do you?
Not a real one,
friend.
Not
this
a
is
one.
Sad because these are not friends; these are just characters on the movie screen.
Nope, they are my right. friends, and the fact that now little girls have this character.
Rey.
To look up to and to be this hero. And it is
yeah,
something
that's what we
that
need
I
is for little girls to start being mouthier. Thanks, Allie.
Oh, how dare you. I wish I could go back in time and be a 7-year-old because that would be the greatest thing, to grow up knowing that I'm going to be able to watch this girl become what she's going
all right,
to become.
We need to take a break. But when we come back, we are going to take calls. 1-800-520-1067. You like the movie. We're not looking for people who hate the movie, whatever. You've always hated it.
Because you're wrong.
Right,
yeah.
But
it's a great film.
You liked it. It's just there's something that bugged you a little bit.
I see it as a missed opportunity with this film okay. more than anything else. But I still delivered on almost every level.
And we'll take your calls now.
Talking about Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 here on The Kevin DeBean Show. If you're just joining us, please don't misunderstand. We all saw the movie. We all loved the movie. But that doesn't mean it was perfect or we wouldn't have changed a couple things if we could. If I can just say, in the interest of spoiler alerts here, and Ralph, you covered this a little bit. At some point, somebody who works for the dark side has got to learn how to build a Death Star without a weakness, right?
Or come up with a new idea for a weapon. This is the third go-around we've had with the freaking Death Star
right.
already. Enough
at
with the Death Star. Come
at
up.
At some point, go, the Death Star isn't getting the job
right. Yet. Let's make a Death Tree. Or a
start smaller?
Or a Death Slingshot. Or something, perhaps, without such a big hole in it.
All right. So let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, well, we got some good ones here. Let's start with Chris in Burbank. He's on line one, at least to get us going here.
All right. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
You too.
You too.
Yeah, so I was thinking this is 30 years later, and we're still seeing the same old X-Wings and TIE Fighters. You know, I can understand the Rebels might be on a shoestring budget, but, you know, if the Emperor can build up a new Death Star, let's upgrade the TIE Fighters.
So a little technological advancement would have made you happy. Some cool ships that you hadn't seen before.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been great.
Look, I got to tell you, 30 years after World War II, boats were still boats. You know what I mean?
And we're still flying planes into battle.
Planes are planes. I mean, stop it. That's ridiculous.
I'm not a hater, but
so you're denying him?
I'm denying him.
Right.
Sorry,
Chris.
It was so cool
sorry, Chris.
How you got to see X-Wings and TIE Fighters in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Instead of in space, you got to see him doing strafing runs and stuff. I thought that was brilliantly done on JJ's part.
Speaking of ships, again, spoiler alert, how brilliant was it when they revealed the Millennium Falcon?
Outstanding.
It was pretty great.
I mean, it was like, oh my God, it chills, exactly.
I have
right?
to say that every character and like fave presence from those films was introduced brilliantly in that movie.
Yeah.
Every time you met somebody new or something new, it was great to see you again.
Let's go to Obey, line six, please. He is in Long Beach.
He's a Jedi, Obey.
He's got a complaint about the new Star Wars movie. We are all ears, Obey. Go ahead.
Yo, what's up, guys? How you doing?
We are good. We're talking about we liked the movie, but it may not have been perfect.
Oh, man, yeah, I love the movie. I think Disney did an excellent job with the movie, kind of saved it from the last three George Lucas films that came out. That
right.
he did. I love this one. I really liked how they went back to the old, you know,
but
thing. The only thing I didn't like was the whole Spiro droid, the whole R2-D2 replacement.
You hated BBA?
It didn't really do it for me.
See,
you know?
He had so, like comedic timing, and BBA was what? Delightful.
What are you, a communist?
What's Obey? What's happening?
Wally, you know, it's like trying to be Wally, but it's just really one of those like little toys that's missing a raccoon tail that, you know, you see at the mall. You know what I mean?
Obey. I
denied.
Love BB-8.
Denied.
I deny it, too. Deny.
All right. Thank you for the call.
I went in looking to dislike BB-8 because of all the merch and all the
yeah.
hype and everything, but I really fell in love with that character. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
Let's go to line eight, please, Kevin. This is going to be our friend Robert. He is in Covina. He's got a complaint about Finn. Robert, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What do you got for us?
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Good. Thank you.
I love the movie, but I didn't like the fact that they had Finn actually use the lightsaber.
You didn't like that Finn used a lightsaber.
Yeah, he knew how to turn it on. He knew how to use it, and he battled with Kylo Ren with it. They should have just left it just Rey using it and battling Kylo
Ren. Well, Now, Allie, let me ask you, because you're the expert here. I mean, are we going to find out that he's got some Jedi in
him? I think he, too, is Force-sensitive, because he turned that lightsaber on. You see the shock in his face, like, oh, God. And then he just knew immediately what to do.
And he's like, Jedi, please.
He's like, right? Okay. Yeah. I think it's all leading up to these backstories that we're going to find out about that maybe he was going through the training as well. Maybe all of
everyone was training.
All of their minds have been erased by Captain Phasma. What? Allie? That's crazy.
No.
Thank you for the call.
She's just talking to herself.
She doesn't need anyone else.
Nope.
Right. Let's go to Light 4. Speaking of Captain Phasma, he is in Chatsworth, and this is going to be Martin. Ralph, for our listeners who don't keep the character's name straight, refresh everyone's memory on Captain Phasma.
Captain Phasma was the shiny stormtrooper captain, and she was the one that allowed them to drop the cloaking device, the force field around the Death Star that allowed the rebel troops to get into.
Played by the great Gwendolyn Christie. All right, Martin, what's your complaint about Captain Phasma?
An underwhelming character. She didn't do anything. I really was disappointed.
I agree.
I thought she had a chance with Finn fought this random stormtrooper with a crazy electric stick or whatever. She could have been that, and it would have made sense. Like, hey, traitor, I'm here. I'm gonna kick your ass.
Yeah, she was underused a little bit, but I think you're going to see more of her in the upcoming film.
Absolutely.
I think it was just a little introduction. She's like the Boba Fett of this trilogy, and you're going to see more of her.
So she would survive the trash picker, I assume.
Absolutely.
I hope they let Martin write her dialogue, though, because I think he nailed it. All right, let's do one more on line three. Let's go to, is it Tifiva? Can that possibly be a name?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Tifiva?
Yes.
What's, okay, hold on, before you move on. What's the history of Tifiva?
It's Samoan.
Samoan, okay. It sounds like it ought to be in the new Star Wars movie. All right, what's your complaint?
Okay, one thing, the movie was predictable. Number two was there was no hot guys. You had Finn, who looked like
Tracy
Morgan.
Wait, hold on a second.
Tracy Morgan, yes.
Oscar Isaac is one of the hottest guys
ever.
Ever, yeah.
Who?
Poe Dameron.
The X-Wing fighter. The pilot.
Lost his jacket. Him and Finn had a bromance.
He's a little bit old. And then Kylo Ren looks like Gene Simmons and Marilyn Manson had a kid together.
he really does That's look true. Like Gene Simmons' son. He
That's
does.
True.
He looks like him a lot.
I'd love to see Gene Simmons play Kylo Ren. That'd be awesome. The best thing ever.
All right.
I have to say, you're a very powerful and strong Jedi.
Huh. That'd be awesome.
Well, listen, Tifiva, I want you to do yourself a favor and listen to yesterday's podcast of the Kevin Abid Show, because we got some Star Wars porn to recommend to you that may take care of your hot guy needs. But thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin Abid Show. It is 8:54.
Tuesday morning, Ralph is here for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin Abid Show. And speaking of Showbiz, Ralph, can I put out a quick plug for folks to go to KROQ.com if they have not yet already to check out the Coachella announcement. It was made yesterday. The lineup for both weekends in April, tickets go on sale Wednesday at 11. You don't want to miss out on this. It's one of the, as Kevin says, one of the greatest weekends of the whole year. Get all the details on how to buy your tickets and who's playing when at KROQ.com. All right, what's going on?
The Coachella announcement is made. Now I don't have to go on Kimmel.
Yeah, what about that? Is that a good sign for this tour that Axl is
already canceled on something?
Yeah.
No, it's not a good sign. If they play Coachella, that'll be the biggest surprise of the year, right?
Well,
even
he's not
this early in 2016, if he actually shows up?
Somewhat unreliable.
No.
Somewhat.
I'm predicting it don't happen.
I like when he does show up, but it's 4 hours late.
Yeah.
That's what I like. That's a lot of fun for fans of Guns N' Roses.
He'll be playing Coachella in July. Just him. No one else will be there. It's going to be very strange. Speaking of plugs, I do want to mention this Saturday night at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I are returning with a brand new Hollywood Babylon show for 2016. Love to have you come out and join us. It's been a while since we've done one, and we're looking forward to talking about all the stuff going on in show business. 10 p.m. on Saturday night at the Improv on Melrose. And we will be talking about this news for sure. Michael Bay has announced he is back to direct the next installment of the franchise that he created, Transformers. The fifth Transformers movie's in the works, and Michael Bay is back on board. Woo! And, more importantly, Mark Wahlberg's back on board.
Oh, no.
I think we found a Transformer.
Really?
This truck became a robot.
Kemp, what? No. Can't believe how this trailer is now a fighting robot. They're fighting each other.
Kevin, help me. Help me understand the appeal of a Transformers movie. You've seen them all,
yeah,
right?
At their best, they're just great action movies. They're great action movies. But then at their
worst... You're standing by great?
Yeah. At their best. Yeah, I said at their best, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're great. I love
it. No.
What?
What?
Not him. I can't believe we have a Transformer.
He's starting to sound more and more like the Scarecrow from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, Dorothy, how are we ever going to get to the Emerald City? We have a Transformer.
Kanye West. Making the news. You know, American Idol's coming back.
No, we don't have, we don't tonight,
have,
I think.
We don't have that audio? Never mind. I won't do this story then. Thought we sent that over, but I guess we won't. Anyway, he did a very funny bit where he showed up to audition for American Idol.
Huh.
In front of the judges. And did Gold Digger.
Did they like him?
They did like him. They put him right through to Hollywood. He got a golden ticket. He was very excited. And a very pregnant Kim Kardashian's waiting outside to see if he got it accepted or not.
That would have been outstanding audio to hear.
I'm not a fan of them, but it was kind of a funny, clever moment. But it comes back tonight, B? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, that's good news.
I will check out a little bit of the final season of American Idol.
I don't have it in me.
Nope.
Really?
I just don't have
it. I don't care anything about the new contestants, but I just think they've got, you know, they've got a library of great moments from the past, and I think it might be fun to.
Can you not tell us about it?
I went from watching the show,
yes,
to just watching the first few episodes to watch the audition process, and now I can't even muster up any enthusiasm for that.
I mean, I haven't watched it in many, many, many seasons. But just because it's the last one and they're pulling out all the stops and bringing back lots of guests and things like that from the past, I think it might be fun. I'll let you know.
While we're talking about music...
I'm saying you don't need to let us know. All good.
Here's good news for Smashing Pumpkin fans. A previously unreleased Smashing Pumpkin song is now available. It's the theme song for the TV show Impact Wrestling. Why, may you ask? Well, Billy Corgan is the senior producer of Impact. And he has decided to take Roustabout, a song from the band, out of the vault and use it for the weekly two-hour Impact Wrestling show that premieres on the Pop Network. And so...
I have a clip of that song.
Oh, I'd love to hear some new Roustabout from Bud.
You're the head, you're on the spear. You're the nail on the cross. You're the fly in my beer. You're the key that God love.
I'm not sure that...
He's lost a step, I think, Billy Corgan.
Rocky Horror Picture Show is being remade on Fox. One of my favorite movies. Getting an upcoming TV remake. They just announced that Janet and Brad will be played by Ryan McCartan and Victoria Justice.
All right.
Okay.
Does that mean anything to anyone?
Well, Victoria Justice, I know from
Victorious. And I don't know. You're replacing Susan Sarandon, though. As Janet, specifically. And then also Barry Boswick as the great Brad.
So. Do you feel that that movie, as beloved as it is, holds up today, Ralph?
I do. I enjoy it every time. I just watched it this past... 6 months ago, I watched it. And loved it.
All right?
So for me, it holds up.
It's going to be a movie on
it's a TV movie. TV movie remake, yes.
Making it's not sure it's not a series. I wasn't quite sure how they'd do that.
Very short-lived. And while we're talking about series, Meredith Vieira has been canceled. Her TV talk show has been canceled.
Oh, what a bummer.
I watched that.
President of the Meredith Vieira fan show fan club said, she had a show? I would have watched if I had known. Meanwhile, Ellen DeGeneres has just renewed her talk show for another 3 years. It'll be on through 2020. No, she's not going to be on 2020, Kevin. Mm. That's a different show.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Robert Duvall is 85 years old today. Charlie Rose is 74. Diane Keaton is 70. Marilyn Manson's 47. Bradley Cooper. Philadelphia in the house. Is him dressed as Swoop this season? He dressed up as Swoop.
Is he your John?
Cooper's my John.
He's awesome, by the way.
He is awesome.
He is awesome.
Seems like a genuinely really good dude and a terrific actor.
Has anybody seen Joy yet?
I have, yeah, I saw that.
What'd you think?
He was good. He was a very small part of it, though.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't have a big role in it, but still.
It was good, I thought.
To see David O. Russell getting his troupe of actors back together.
Sure, a lot of depressing characters in it, though, I'll tell you that.
Was it too long for you?
Too long.
I figured, yeah.
Honestly, though,
aren't all movies a little bit too long?
No. Mm-mm.
Most?
No.
But I'm saying most.
No.
So we agree.
No, we don't agree. Right. I'm telling you no, that's not
glad.
The case.
I'm happy we're on the same page.
I find a movie that's too long is actually the exception rather than the rule.
Right, but what I'm saying is most movies are too long.
No, I understand what you're saying.
And I feel like we all agree on
no,
that.
No, I'm saying you're wrong. Occasionally you'll find a movie and say, oh, there's a little bit
too, so
long,
you're in, too long.
But most movies are just as long okay. as they need to be.
Right, so we all feel the same
no,
way.
No, we don't feel the same way.
That's good. I'm glad.
Kevin is also the guy who thinks that most YouTube videos are too long.
How dare
too,
you?
So.
And most Vines, too. He's got no time for
mind. January Jones is 38. And just talking about him, Poe Dameron himself, Oscar Isaac is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of people feeling good about the video that went viral yesterday of the woman pulling up to a drive-thru window at Starbucks and confronting the woman who had stolen her credit card number and used it to buy lots of stuff. Ali, you spotted this first yesterday. What were your thoughts on it?
As someone that has had her identity stolen and found out by getting a bill on my credit card, and I was like, I'm sorry, really? Osh? Hardware? No. I wish I could do it. It was I think Ralph said it best yesterday. He said it was cathartic to see
somebody actually get
busted.
Confronted.
Yes. And right to her face, videoed, and she could not deny it.
Now, help me understand what happened. So the woman's credit card was stolen by somebody who worked at Starbucks. That
yes.
person made a copy of the credit card.
So yes, then she said then something was wrong with the receipt. So she went back, and I guess during that time, she went back and copied down the credit card number, that type of thing, brought the credit card back to the woman. She paid, left. This all happened, I believe, on New Year's Day, mm-hmm. and then saw a charge for Ralph's grocery store and was like, whoa, I haven't been there. And they found her on video.
So she went to Ralph's and said, hey, I got this $212 charge, but I wasn't here. And they went and looked in the video and saw the Starbucks
surveillance video.
How about that?
How great is that?
All right. So she's in the car in the drive-thru. She's got her brother in the car with her. And it sounds to me like she's got at least a kid, maybe more kids in the back.
Yeah, a couple in the back.
But that doesn't stop her prodigious use of the F word in front of those little kids. But I think you'll enjoy this as she drives up through the Starbucks window.
Good. How are you doing? So we got you on camera yesterday at Ralph's for $212. So just know that the cops are coming up here. They recorded your ass and everything. You took a copy of my card the other day on New Year's Day. You know what you did, right? You know what you did, right?
I'm so sorry, man.
You're sorry about what? That you went to Ralph's? You took a copy of my card here while you said you were going to go get receipt paper. And they got your ass on camera yesterday. So do you know what you did, right? Before I pressed charges and everything on you. So what are you sorry about? That you took money from me and my kids? What are you sorry about?
I'm sorry that I took money from you and your kids. I'm sorry that you had to come up here. I'm sorry that this is inconvenient for you. I'm sorry.
You're sorry that you're about to lose your job because corporate knows? Is that what you're sorry about too?
All
right, let's go.
I'm so sorry. I am a good child. I swear.
You're a good child.
I really do go to school. I'm 19. I play soccer.
So why the would you? How would you even make a copy of my card? I knew you took a minute. You went back there for a minute, and I knew what the hell you were doing. You took a picture, or I don't know what you did. But you obviously thought I wasn't going to come back here. You thought I wasn't even going to get to the bottom of it. I am seriously gonna press charges on your ass.
By the way, I think she's probably accurate that most people would never figure out who it was.
Oh,
yeah,
and they don't give you that information. Even if they know who it is, they won't give you the information of who
so
that
how
person
did she
is.
Know? How did she get it then? How did she find out who it was?
I assume she remembers the card situation, that type of thing.
Oh, that made her think of it?
Made her think of it. But.
Now, look, okay. I hope she does press charges, by the way, because I don't have any idea. I could be completely wrong. But my sense is, from following the news, is that 99.9% of the people who commit credit card fraud get away with it.
Oh, I agree.
Oh,
I think
absolutely.
So, too.
So I hope that this lady, now that she knows who it is and she admitted it, I hope that she does press charges. And I know that this woman was very surprised when the crime victim came up through the drive-thru window. But I thought her defense was, you know, I play soccer. I thought that was pretty strong.
I looked right at Kevin when she said that, and I said, see?
See what happens? See what your people do?
I wondered why that didn't work. It was a good effort, though.
I'm a good
19,
child. I
go to school. I play soccer.
Did she think that the lady whose credit card she stole was going to go, oh, I didn't realize.
Wait a minute.
Oh,
hold on. You
do
play
you
soccer?
Like Barca? Who's your team?
I'm getting the money from the bank anyways.
Okay, now she's saying she didn't get whatever she bought. That she hadn't gotten the $212 or whatever worth of stuff.
You didn't hear what the... It went through, the $212. You come to Starbucks to get coffee, not to get robbed.
I swear on my life that lightning will strike me down right now. I swear.
Wouldn't it have been awesome if lightning struck her down right there?
Yeah, and she had just finished saying, I'll pay you the $212 right now.
Right.
Don't press charges.
That's when she thought of, hey, but I didn't get anything for it.
And soccer.
No, she's falling apart. I want her arrested, and I somehow want a Netflix documentary about this case.
That would be fantastic. Well, it was 6.7. K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Hey, welcome to Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday morning. Ralph Garman, you weren't in the room when we were talking about the woman who got hers at the Starbucks drive-thru yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
She was confronted.
Revenge.
Confronted by the
woman. I will have my revenge.
Whose credit card she stole. I want to thank the listener who tipped us off because we were wondering if she was going to get prosecuted. We hope so. The victim is not pressing charges in this case. Felt that since the bad lady had lost her job at Starbucks as a result of it, that was punishment enough. So unfortunately,
nope.
She will not go to jail.
She can instead just keep doing it to different people so she never has to work again.
But she plays soccer.
Yeah, she
does play soccer.
She's a good kid.
I'm a good kid. I play soccer.
Play soccer for the women's penal system.
Yeah. Ooh,
what?
Women's penal soccer.
They don't have penals. That's not how that works, Ralph. Come on.
It's not the same thing.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Don't forget, today is new release day. New release day.
For video.
Not new release day for music.
No.
Those are Fridays.
Yeah.
Much better release day. Friday.
That is way better.
So much better. You. Have you worked it out yet, Bean? Have you figured out how to...
Please don't bring it up. It's still painful.
Seriously, how long has it been, though? It's been two months?
Been
3 months?
It's been like 6 months.
6 months. Yeah.
So now you've managed it. Now you've worked out a new system.
Well, I mean, I'm still alive and navigating my way through the world, but it's not easy. What's coming out today?
True Detective Season 2.
Ooh, that was good. That was better than people said it was.
I agree. I thought it got a rough...
Well, because it was being compared to the first season, which was so brilliant.
Right.
This one maybe wasn't quite as good, but was still really good.
I enjoyed it. Luther, season 4. If you're not up on Luther, watch
Luther. Good.
It's a great show. Party of Five, the complete series.
What?
Glad. Why
finally.
So soon?
Why so soon? Indeed. That's weird.
Broad City, season 2, and Comedy Bang Bang, season 3 is all about.
Both great shows.
Infinitely Polar Bear, Mark Ruffalo and Zoe Saldana. Do not watch that alone at night.
Depressing.
See, during the day with all the shades up and with some banjo music playing behind you. Because you'll, it's a rough, rough show. The Walk, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Uh-huh. I will try to step between the Twin Towers here in New York and a small thin wire in my slippers. Now you don't even need to see it. It's the whole movie.
Is that another one-man show you're touring with?
Yep. The Visit, M. Night Shyamalan. But Grandma and Grandpa.
Nope.
We have to lock the doors.
Nope.
We have to. But Grandma and Grandpa told us to lock the doors.
Nope.
No.
Speaking of scary movies, have you seen the commercial for The Boy?
The Boy. What's The Boy?
You haven't seen The Boy?
No.
Girl comes into a house. Oh, this is my son, and it's a doll. Woman says it's a doll. But here's some advice: lock your doors after 8. Don't come out. Don't turn your back on my son.
As the one you were just the
but
visit.
But this is a doll. And the doll starts to cry.
Uh-oh.
It's alive! It's the boy!
If I get told don't come out of your room after 8,
you're doing
I'm
all
leaving right now. I'm out. Yeah. I'm not staying there for the night.
It's my son.
The boy.
And lastly, Sicario. Hey, Sicario, how come it take you so long to get on a DVD? All the time, I'm your mom and I wait for you to come to a house, a DVD, a Blu-ray. We got nothing. We make it a gravy. We make it a meatballs for you, Sicario. Every time for Sunday dinner, you never come, Sicario.
That's not at all what it's about. You know that, right?
It's about an old Italian family waiting for their son Sicario.
I don't think
so. I believe it is.
I heard nothing but great things about Sicario, and I did miss it.
And you rushed to the theater? So you rushed to the theater?
I didn't. He doesn't really rush anywhere outside himself. But I may check it out now that it's available at home.
Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Ruffy? Dave's dog?
No, the real one. Ronda Rousey, the MMA fighter, is set to host Saturday Night Live when it debuts on January the 23rd.
That's a... I'm intrigued. It's a little bit of a stretch. We haven't seen her do much comedy.
I'm sorry, it's not debuting on the 23rd. They will be making their debuts on January the 23rd. Ronda Rousey and Selena Gomez will be the musical guests. So.
All right.
An all-ladies edition of SNL on January 23rd. Adam Driver is going to do the week before that.
Ooh, that'll be good.
Wonder if there'll be any Star Wars sketches.
Probably not.
No.
You guys don't watch Girls, but he is great on that show.
I watched Girls.
He's a real good actor.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
Thanks for that.
Back I'm to just Ralph. Saying there's more to him right. than Star Wars. That's all I'm saying. I think that's a good booking.
All right. Speaking of television... American Idol returns tonight. Jennifer Lopez, Keith Urban, Harry Connick Jr. are your judges. The best part of the show, I think, is when these auditions happen, because then the craziest people show up. Like this one guy, Kanye West, auditioned, saying he wanted to be a rapper, and then he rapped. He said it's an original piece of music called Gold Digger, and then he rapped Gold Digger. Remember that time?
No.
Kanye West was on.
I don't remember that.
And then a very pregnant Kim Kardashian's waiting outside the door with Ryan Seacrest, and they're saying, "Ooh, I hope he gets his golden ticket to Hollywood." See what they're doing there? Here's a little taste.
Tell us your name. Where are you from?
My name is Kanye. I'm from the south side of Chicago.
Right on. What do you do there, Kanye?
Originally a producer. I always wanted to rap, and nobody really believed in me.
I hope that works out, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck.
Luck with all that.
Yeah.
So are you nervous?
I am. I'm not nervous because I do really believe in him.
Yeah. Did you give him advice before?
I didn't give any advice on singing, rapping. I just, I hope they really believe in him.
It could go either way.
It's so funny.
Oh, man. Because
he's already established. He's Kanye.
That's quite the improviser.
She sure is.
Yeah, that's a real guy.
She's got a talent. And then he raps and you're like, yeah.
If someone really?
If someone come in and rap that, you'd be like, yeah, they're pretty good.
He didn't blow you away?
I like the record better. That's what you would say if you saw that.
Wow.
So
he wouldn't make it through to Hollywood?
And then he put on a fencing mask for some reason. I don't understand what was happening.
And then spent 20 minutes talking about his mom.
And his fashion line.
Weird.
And sad news, we have to say goodbye to a legend in the music industry. Robert Stigwood has passed away. The age of 81, quite the career he had. Started off as a business partner with the Beatles manager Brian Epstein. Then he went on to manage such bands as Cream, put them together, Eric Clapton, Jack Bruce, and Ginger Baker. The Bee Gees was their manager. In fact, it was perhaps his greatest feat was putting together the deal for the Bee Gees, letting them do the soundtrack to a little movie called Saturday Night Fever that he was producing for Paramount Pictures.
Did that work out for anyone involved?
That went on to become the biggest selling soundtrack of all time. All
right.
The Fever movie also was very successful. Then he followed that up with Grease, another John Travolta musical, and that film soundtrack. And then he did Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band with the Bee Gees and Peter Frampton, and damn near killed their careers. But look, everybody's entitled to one or two mistakes. Stigwood was 81 years old.
Ralph, this won't surprise you about me, but RSO Records was my favorite record label.
Sure.
Because we all have that,
a we all have record that list. Label. RSO, standing for Robert Stigwood Organization.
Right.
And at one point, I tried to collect all of their records. That was my thing, is I was going to see if I could find and buy all of their records, because they had lots of good songs. And then a lot of other ones that I liked that didn't that weren't real big hits. And that was my mission for a couple of years, was to track them all down.
Oh, phone's ringing. Sorry, I wish we could hear more of this story, but
dang, we got to
answer that phone.
A little sad when I heard the news that Mr. Stigwood had passed away, but he did give the great David Naughton his first break. So,
Kevin, are we ever going to find out if Bean collected all the RSO records?
I hope not.
How can I leave the show without finding out how the story ends?
Man.
look, people collect weird things. That was just something I just was in.
Did you not hear the phone ring?
Okay, sorry.
Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Duvall's 85 years old today. Charlie Rose, the talk show host, is 74. Diane Keaton is 70. Marilyn Manson's 47. Bradley Cooper, 41 years old today. January Jones is a lovely 38. DJ Deadmau5 is 35. And Oscar Isaac, Poe Dameron himself, of course, from Star Wars A Force Awakens, celebrates his 36th birthday. Celebrate, here's a little of Oscar Isaac singing the legendary Star Wars theme.
Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars. Give me those Star Wars.
Come on!
Any old day.
It's Oscar Isaac himself!
Come on.
There's nothing he can't do.
Star Wars, those near and far Wars. Please don't let Star Wars. Come to
I like it.
Yeah, that's what Bill Murray sang on Saturday Night Live all those years ago when he was doing that lounge singer character.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hang on. Mm-hmm. Want to hear about my Columbia Records collection?
What's your favorite record label, Ralph?
I think it would have to be Columbia.
Would it?
Oh, yeah. Back in the old days, Columbia.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have Zoe Bell
talking about the Hateful Eight.
Cause she's Zoe Bell! Zoe Bell. We also have the ultimate getaway prize package to Crested Butte Mountain Ski Resort in Colorado tomorrow morning, and I have to learn Spanish in about 24 hours. So that's all good.
Oh, muy difícil.
We'll talk about that tomorrow.